This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
During these sessions, for more details on the election, visit kpft.org. Again, tune in for the local station board candidate forums Thursday, October 18th to Sunday, October 21st. All sessions happen at 6 p.m. This series of forums is moderated by KPFT News anchor Steve Jolly. KPFT News can be heard weekdays at 5 p.m. KPFT, Houston.
I'm half asleep, I'm half turned on. 6 more minutes of me in your arms. And it's alright, it's okay. It doesn't matter what they say. Sticks and stones may break our bones. We're still a family anyway. It's 8 o'clock, you kiss me goodbye. I'm still half asleep and you say, it's time to get up, it's time to get in the shower. I will call you in a couple of hours. We both have work to do, but it's nice to know I'm coming home to you. And it's okay, it doesn't matter what they say. Sticks and stones may break our bones. We're still a family anyway. He calls at 10 a.m. each and every day. He's just making sure that I arrived okay.
The program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the October... Damn, shine?
15th. 14th.
13th. 12th. 11th. 10th. guess what? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. If you can't figure out what the date is, then who
cares? I know it.
Who gives a flying fudge?
And your name is?
Well, I ain't giving my name out.
After that,
well, I'm the
after the fudge, I guess not.
My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the other one. How you doing tonight?
More awake than usual.
Ah, well, that's good because I'm sleepier than usual.
That's true. I thought you were more dopey.
No. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sleepy. Tonight.
Sure as hell don't have a... well, he's smiling, so we'll make him happy.
What?
You sure as hell don't have a bashful one of the dwarfs here.
Good.
Not on this show.
Good, good, because tonight's nude radio.
Did your uniform teach you that?
Like you have to.
I know. I've seen his videos. Somebody bring in a tarp?
Oh. Anybody missing pool balls? Anyway,
I got rid of the kitchen.
I'm going to do something that you give me. No, let's talk about the music first, because it's new music for kind of new music for
us. We played it 2 weeks ago.
Phil Dutra, we did. And let's not talk about that.
No, this one we played a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Altergott.
It's, what did we play from that?
It's just wee stuff. I put the CD in.
I know, well.
You put a pink highlighter on and said, do this one.
Yeah, I know.
From the previous show, she was like, oh, he's kind of cute. I didn't have the heart to tell. Well, you know, he plays on our team. We played Every Day is a Reason.
I have to
finish out this very important paperwork that Jimmy does absolutely nothing with.
Yes, I do. I do file it. Because it's history. After tonight, it's history.
Yeah. As far as putting it on the internet for other people to see.
Yeah, well.
JD, I'm teasing them for you.
Yeah, I know. JD gives me grief because I don't post our music on the Out Music websites. So, and the second one we played was something that was given to me, and it's kind of neat. It's a little overly electronic. Let's see, some of them the electronics kind of overpower his voice, but he's got good things to say on it, and that was who? Jack Fowler?
Yeah.
With Overflowing was the cut from that CD. And speaking of music, and here he gives me grief, Sweet Mama Cotton is playing at your local Kroger's. Sweet Mama Cotton, who also known as Marcy Ray, used to do the piano bar thing over at the Briar Patch and other places. And now...
Wait a minute. I just thought, now that you're mentioning that...
What?
She used to work at the Briar Patch.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone.
Yeah.
She used to work at the one bar, the hotel down in Galveston.
In Hollywood, yeah. It's gone. So this is when Kroger's is on its way out?
We now hold a memorial service for Kroger. Where's Eye on the Sparrow?
Friday, October the 19th, from 5 to 7, she'll be at the Kroger in River Oaks, West Gray, between Waugh and Shepherd.
Featuring the newest cut on her hit, it says 12 items or less, bitch.
Well, she probably won't be playing, what do we usually play from her? That to the tune of Desperado.
Desperate Old Guy.
Desperate Old Guy. Yes, you probably won't be playing that. And let's see, coming up this week, Saturday, October the 30th, the Houston Leather Boys will be doing what? What?
Coming up later this week, October 30th.
October 20th.
Well, you said 30th.
Did I?
Yeah.
I am so sorry. No,
that's why I'm going.
Next Saturday, October 20th, from 1 to 4 p.m.
It's hell when he doesn't read his own script.
Yeah.
That he brings in.
It's the Houston Leather Boys Dog Wash. Now, listen to this. This is being held at Mary's Naturally, of course. Where else? The Houston Leather Boys fundraiser for SNAP and donating pet products gets a discount. Donating pet products gets a discount.
Snap is the spay and neuter animal project.
Bring your two-legged pups and four-legged pups and have some fun. $15 for pup.
Yes.
So won't that be kind of interesting?
And if and you get it, and you get a, if you bring a dog food there, they give a discount.
Oh, really?
That's what the their
oh, is that what that was about?
Yeah.
Oh, you're into this, huh?
No, I attend HCC meetings.
Oh, okay. And then
you may want to try that. Well, you're no longer with that dog store.
The next day, October 21st, is the PWA's first Halloween party. It will be at the BRB 7 until whenever, and there will be a pumpkin auction. Because people are going to come in and have a, there's going to be a pumpkin carving demo on the back patio and a costume contest for $100 cash prize. PWA will purchase pumpkins for you or your organization, to decorate.
It would be, I guess, the first time you've had something slime around the back
patio. And then they're going to auction them off. So that's kind of an interesting thing. Then on the 23rd, Tuesday the 23rd, is the Bayou City Performing Arts presents a benefit concert, Sing for the Cure, a proclamation of hope featuring Deborah Duncan and Annalie Jeffries. And that's featuring the world debut of Bayou City Chorale, the combined voices of the Gay Men's Chorus of Houston and the Bayou City Women's Chorus. That's Tuesday, October the 23rd, 7:30 at Jones Hall. Mm-mm. And ticket prices are $30, $50, and $100. But, I mean, let's face it, folks, this is a fundraiser, so you'll get good music for your money. And the money will go for a good cause. Wednesday, October the 24th, from 5:30 to 8 at the Ripcord, join the Fire Dancers of Houston for Steak Night, where $15 gets you a steak. Grills will be provided to cook your steak to your liking. Salad and baked potato with all the fixins. Net proceeds from the event will benefit Baring Omega's Housing Assistance Program. And next weekend is enthronement for ICOH, the Imperial Court of Houston, the Space City Empire. And there are things going on, oh my God, from Friday until next Sunday. But on Sunday, October the 14th, which is later on today, Sunday at 2 o'clock, is the Rain 5 Awards reception at 1415 Bar and Lounge. Then Wednesday, October the 17th, 8 o'clock at Mary's, is the Emperor and Empress Roast and Toast. That's going to be good, considering who they are this year. Members of the Universe Show and the final announcement of the 2007 Space City Idol winner. Thursday, at the River Oaks Theater, ICOH and Pride Houston present the world premiere of Theft. Tickets are $15, includes the movie and the cast party afterwards at South Beach. Friday, October the 19th, 7:30 at Tony's Corner Pocket, the Ambassadors of the Universe show and the Montrose Bar Tour. That is the out-of-town show for folks who are not members of ICOH. And the bar tour tickets are $10, and that includes one drink per each stop, plus all the booze that's going to be on the bus. So then they'll pour you out somewhere. I don't know.
Well, considering... I'm not going to go there.
What?
Considering some of the people who was being honored with this event there.
I see. Yes. Well. Yeah, sometimes you just got to drink.
I wouldn't say which one of the Emperor Empress is more roasty or which one's more toasty, but...
We'll find out Wednesday night. Then Saturday, October 30th at the Crown Plaza downtown, enthronement 6. From Prom Night on Uranus is the theme, from the hop to the hustle, benefiting Legacy Community Health Services Drug Assistance Program, and honoring the Barry Petrie Community Commitment Award winner, Don Gill, and the GLBT Hall of Fame recipient, Jack Valinsky. Guest MCs for the show is Houston PBS host Ernie Manous and 104KRBE DJ Special K. Doors open at 6. Dinner at 6:30, show at 8 o'clock. The tickets are $100. Includes a sit-down dinner, and it's not Rubber Chicken, and 5 hours of open bar. Another drunk fest. But, hey.
And it's Call.
What?
It's Call Alcohol.
Call Alcohol?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
It ain't the cheap stuff.
Oh, okay.
This is the stuff when you go to the bar, you know, that when they have the dollar specials, this ain't the stuff.
This ain't the stuff.
No, this is, oh, this okay. is the $5
this
drink.
This is the good stuff. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, then that's worth it. I'm not a drinker, as you can tell.
Drink Jimmy's. Maybe you should start. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all I need.
Don't know if it could hurt.
I know you've got some stuff, too.
GLBT Community Center features a prominent gay writer who will be reading from his book. Wayne Besson, author and former Houstonian, will read from his new book on August 25th. He's a well-known gay pundit who counters religious right hypocrisy and debunks the so-called ex-gay myth. He'll be speaking at the Houston GLBT Community Center on Thursday, October 25th at 7 p.m. I'm sorry, I won't be at the community center. I'll be hosting the appearance at Salud Winery, 3939 Montrose.
Cool.
There's no charge of event. Donations will be accepted for Truth Wins Out, the nonprofit think tank that Besson founded, which counters anti-gay disinformation campaigns exposed by the right-wing conservatives and provides accurate information about the GLBT community.
Hmm.
For more information, you can go... For more information on the author, you can go to www.WayneBesson.com or TruthWinsOut.org. For more information on the Community Center, you can go to HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org. HERA, the Houston Equal Rights Alliance, is celebrating Halloween with a spooky party at the Chocolate Bar.
Ooh.
No tricks, just treats.
Uh-huh.
That's also on Thursday the 25th from 6 to 10 at 1835 West Alabama. Costumes are optional, and percentage of sales will be donated to HERA. Mark your calendars 3 weeks from...
From whenever.
From a couple of days ago. 3 weeks from last week.
Okay.
On Friday, October 26th, the third annual Tiaras of Terror show and the second annual Tiara Queen contest will make its way back to the BRB, Brazos River Bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Tiara Queen contest is open to all community members and community entertainers.
Mm.
Everyone, make sure you have your Rolaids, Alka-Seltzer, Tums, or milk of magnesia to help you with any stomach discomfort for this return.
That good, huh?
And Tommy didn't put the time that the show starts.
Oh, hell, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, whatever.
Galveston Island Pride Festival 2007.
Now, that's a big deal going on.
Is October 26th through the 28th with a kickoff party at the Pink Dolphin.
Mm-hmm.
Street party on Saturday at Sangerfest Park. Costume party at the Undercurrent and Third Coast Beach Bar. And on Sunday, the beach party at the Third Coast Beach Bar. Special guest star Pepper Maché, singing her massive number one Billboard hit Dive in the Pool from the original Queer as Folk soundtrack. Also, Eric Hyman and Josh Duffy, with special appearances by DJ Special K, DJ Chris Allen, and DJ Neil Fogo.
My goodness, Special K just gets around, doesn't he?
For more information, you can go to galvestongaypride.org. Also coming up next Sunday.
Sunday.
Bears on the Run. It's a tour that showcases the talents of Bobalo, a comedian from Los Angeles, Kendall, a songwriter-performance artist from Buffalo, Matthew Temple, a folk singer-songwriter from Nashville, Nakia, a blues singer-songwriter from Austin, and Elijah Black, a rock singer-songwriter from Ohio, and Shannon Grady, a singer-songwriter from Minneapolis. They are going to be performing over at Tony's Corner Pocket. And that is starting. That doesn't say what time it is either. Well, you like that? They don't tell you what time the show starts. On that way, you can find out from. Yeah, your mic's on now.
They just assume you know. You know, 8-ish, whatever.
Well, you can contact Tony's Corner Pocket there. Like I said, it'll be next Sunday, October the 21st.
Just hang out there, have a few drinks, the show will start.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, either before or after, there'll be somebody walking around in a G-string to ignore you. I'm sorry, bitter, table of one. Bitter. I'm sorry, did I use my outside voice?
Yes,
again?
You did. Yes, you did.
For more information on that event, you can go to bearsontherun.com. Now I'm going to find some music to play.
Music?
For after you guys get done kvitzing.
Oh!
It's on to y'all now.
Because it's time for the After Hours Quickie. And
I've never been called a quickie before.
Tonight we have the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, or Rhesus, Inc. And there's a lot of stuff going on with you guys here lately.
We are very busy.
Yeah.
We're running and a moving and a shaking with 90... When I say 97
days.
I see. So you're gonna have some folks lining up to take over the emperor and empress positions, yes, of Arisa's.
We had candidate pickups last night, mm-hmm, for applications. They are headed out your way very shortly. By the end of the month of October, we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to announce who those people are, and the corduroy will be flying through your neighborhoods, and they will be out trying to suggest them as their choice as the next emperor and empress
corduroy?
Of this great corduroy. We have a
corduroy.
Black corduroy sashes that they wear.
Oh,
That's why I said it's a flash of corduroy that runs through the street for 3 months. Well, it's Houston and it's winter, so a little corduroy can go a long way.
Yeah, you certainly can. Yes.
So those individuals will be out starting the end of October.
Mm-hmm.
Cheyenne and I have had a wonderful year,
sure,
and have accomplished many, many things that we wanted to. And if it wasn't for this great community and those that showed their support to us financially and physically, mm-hmm, by just being there and working with us, as well as a great group of monarchs and line members, we wouldn't have accomplished as much as we have.
Well, the other thing that you guys have done this year that just from the outside looking in is that you've been a big support down in Galveston too. You've done a whole lot of shows down there.
We have made it a point to be down there in that community once a month.
Mm-hmm.
There's always time for those people too, and they benefit from our services as well.
Sure.
It's also nice to have family. Love the undercurrent.
And, oh yeah.
And my imperial father and mother-in-law, I guess I would say, Safonda, St. John, and Daryl, and that great bar there. We've actually played in almost every establishment down there for some rhyme or reason throughout the course of the last year. So,
you know, I'm going to have to apologize because I opened up this segment and I didn't even introduce you.
Oh, that's okay.
I mean, most people know your voice because they've heard it here many
and
times.
And they usually run the other way.
We have the Emperor of Rhesus here, Chris Beck.
Thank you.
And?
Oh, next to me. Out. And although next to me tonight, because he's usually never with me, it's been a busy year, is actually my partner, Christopher Garrett, mm-hmm, who is actually Emperor 21.
That's right. A past monarch also.
Yes.
And there's a reason for that. We'll get to him in a second. No.
You mean the reason that he's a past monarch? Or that he's here tonight?
That he's just here. I mean, that's a good thing. He's still standing.
Yeah. After this year?
Oh, boy.
He's had me running.
Is that a fact?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a good emperor needs
He has to have that support.
Needs support.
Yep.
We just got done. We're talking about being tired. We just finished tonight raising a little over $1,200.
Oh, my goodness.
For Legacy Community Health Services using Chances tonight.
That's amazing.
Celebrating the 16th year of Double Nickel.
Yeah. Now, what does Double Nickel mean?
Where's Barbara when I need her?
Oops, sorry.
It actually celebrates the women of the organization, mm-hmm, who 16 years ago decided to do a show, and it had to celebrate the fact that somebody was 55 years old.
Ah.
Double Nickel.
Okay.
And it has been passed to Barbara. Barbara has diligently. Barbara Walker has diligently worked on this project for years, and 2 years ago passed it to down to Chris Vogue or Sushi, or is that all the names, IKAs, that she's had?
Chris or Sushi?
Yeah. And she has done it now with a great support system within the lesbian community as well as ERESIS. And this year, actually, we had the Houston, what are they, the Kings?
The Drag Kings.
Gendermen.
Gendermen?
Wasn't it
Drag Kings?
Drag Kings.
Yes.
Okay.
Which was a first, and they were great.
Really?
But I find it really odd. They like to perform with food. Every time they had... I can tell you that this is the first time that I can ever say that I've had a ding-dong in chances. I wanted to use that joke sometime tonight, so I got to use it tonight on the air.
You're just not right.
A cream-filled goodie.
Yeah, there you go. It chances, and I'm a guy. So that's
yeah. Imagine that. Were there a lot of men there? Because I know it's basically
no, there isn't.
Well, more ding-dongs for you,
that's
then.
That's right. Oh, there were a lot left over.
And like the original, like it's normally is over there, it's all artificial.
Ooh.
They rolled around on the floor in them.
No.
Yes.
On the stage, they were all over and they were... Yeah.
It was very entertaining.
It was a different show.
There are people that are into that. You know?
I guess.
That's a special hanky color. I don't know what
I don't
is,
know what it would be.
But shoot, $1,200 is nothing to sneeze
no,
at. That's
no,
a, that's
very
a,
good. Very good.
That's very nice.
And it just adds to a growing total that's going to help Legacy Community Health Services in January or in February when we issue the check.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, to explain what Cheyenne and I have decided to do this year, we've chosen Legacy Community Health Services, and they have 26 programs that they work through. Traditionally, we choose a program at the beginning of the year, and then the money is funneled into that.
Yes.
This year we chose the organization as a whole because you never know what Uncle Sam is not going to fund for them the following year.
Sure.
So in times past, we may have picked certain divisions of that organization and the funding was still there, but yet there were other parts
other areas that needed the funding?
Correct. Programs that would have been cut. However, if we've already decided where the money was going to go, that's where the money was directed.
Sure.
This year, we get to choose with them and help them kind of fill in where
Uncle Sam
or the president or anybody else might decide that they weren't going to help this time.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of that in the past 8 years.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So this way, some program, and knowing that everybody has helped in this community this year to do that, is going to stay alive, or two programs, is going to stay alive one more year longer.
That's great.
Because of the community support.
Good.
Any recess, so.
Good. Now, I know you've got other things coming up.
We have a huge event tomorrow. It truly, and I'm going to let Christopher talk about it, this is why we do what we do. We raise money every weekend for HIV, AIDS, and breast cancer. The event tomorrow night really puts it all in one big show and explains how much needed funds and why we do it on a personal level to make a difference for this community.
Okay.
So, Christopher, why don't you tell us about the Knights of the Roundtable?
Tomorrow night, I'm going to be hosting the second annual Knights of the Roundtable. The theme this year is negative, but still living with HIV and AIDS.
Yes.
And
there's a lot of that, you know, because I've been positive for half my life, but my lover is negative.
Correct.
So, and I sure want him to stay that way.
You're right, and I agree with you there. And that's kind of why I wanted to have this theme this year, is because it's just not people that are HIV positive that are affected.
That's right.
There's partners that are positive, negative. There's, you know, people that work at Legacy on a daily basis. Prime example, Barbara Walker.
Mm-hmm.
She sits there and teaches people when they're first diagnosed. You know, she sees them, she deals with it all, and she has to deal with Yeah. She's negative, but she deals with it.
Sure.
So, actually, I'm going to have three guest speakers tomorrow night. One is going to be Barbara Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris Beck is also going to talk tomorrow.
Cool.
And Sana Alton is talking as well. So, we're going to have that. And you'll probably hear from, hopefully, a client from Legacy as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to be tomorrow night. 7 o'clock, we have food. Chipotle has donated 100 burritos for the event.
Whoa.
So, yeah, come out and enjoy some burritos. And then...
Now, where's this again?
It's at the BRB.
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 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. The show will be at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
We're going to have a silent auction. And the one thing that I really am excited about is I've got to work with Legacy to have syphilis and HIV testing done right there at the BRB during this event.
Great.
So I'm really excited about that. And we'll also be having a silent auction. So it's going to be a very busy night.
I'm really happy about the syphilis and other STD testing that you're going to do, because syphilis is on the rise dramatically.
Big time.
All across this nation. And, of course, when you have a rise in syphilis, then you know that there's a rise in HIV.
That is correct.
So...
Yes.
Let's get tested, and the thing of it is, people who don't know that they are HIV positive or have syphilis can easily pass it on.
Oh, very easily.
Yeah.
Yes. So.
This is utmost importance.
Yes. So, my goal for tomorrow night is, last year when I raised it, the theme last year was positive, or living in Houston. With AIDS and HIV and AIDS. So that's why, you know, I had clients talk last year, had taken it a whole different view this year. But my goal this year is to raise $5,000.
Whoa!
Well, last year's event, yes. It's a little high goal, but last year we raised $2,500 at
Did
this
you?
Event. Yes.
Wow.
So it was a very good event.
Wow.
I have... Already 5 tables sold. Mm-hmm. I have 3 more tables available.
Mm-hmm.
They seat 4. They're $100 a piece. Mm-hmm. So if anybody wants one, I will have available that night.
How can they get in touch with you?
They can call me on my cell phone.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's the best way to get a hold of me. Or you can go through our website and go to the webmaster and send me an email. And I'll get that as well.
Okay.
But if people do want
to... Now, this is the Reese's website?
That is correct.
Yeah, okay.
Reese's website. Okay. But if somebody wants to call me, they can reach me at 281-330-3726. And I
Wait a minute now. if I'm sitting at home listening, and I'm trying to write that number down...
Did I say it a little bit too fast?
A little too fast.
I'm sorry.
A little too fast.
Okay.
Let's try that again.
One more time. The cell phone number is
281-330-3726. 3726.
And if I could add just a couple things. If you can't make it tomorrow and you feel like you want to contribute to Christopher's fund because you know somebody, maybe because you are negative and you know somebody, since that's what the theme is, you can give Christopher a call. We can take credit cards and make a tax-deductible donation.
That would be great.
In your name.
Mm-hmm.
We take MasterCard, Visa, and American Express. We can do that.
Or do it anonymously.
Exactly. We'll holler your name out at the show.
Or not.
to give you credit. Certainly... It's what this community does. It's
going to
make a difference for those within our own city.
Well, and when you were saying that you've been positive for a very long time.
Yeah, half my life.
Actually, that's what started this whole event.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I became positive.
Oh.
So this is basically my second anniversary.
Okay.
That's why I started this whole deal, and that's why I keep on doing it. So.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, because I know the stages that we have to go through.
Oh, yeah.
When you first get diagnosed. It hasn't changed in 25, 30 years.
No.
And it's pretty horrible.
It is.
For the first year, knowing that you're HIV.
Yeah, you go through a lot.
Yes, you do.
So, and that's what started this whole thing, so I'm going to keep up going. And
good for you.
Go
good
there.
For you.
So.
Okay, so what else is on your agenda for the Reese's?
We are... Cheyenne and I are headed off to Portland, Oregon next week. The team, after this fun festive weekend, is because we did a benefit Friday for the Cult 45s, because it's also about giving back to other groups and organizations in this community.
I love the Cult.
They're on. They're the after hours quickie every first Saturday.
Yes.
If it wasn't for some of them, I don't think we would be here.
Yeah, you're right.
So we lended a helping hand with them, and so we have next weekend off.
Okay.
So, and then we come back strong again for the Halloween weekend. We're going to be in Galveston for a, what's it called? Mausoleum Madness.
Ooh.
At the Undercurrent on a Friday night, which is different for us. Hauling down Friday.
Is this part of the thing that we just talked about? The Pride thing?
Nope.
Nope.
Although that is the kickoff Friday night for Pride weekend. We were happy to get a Friday night and to be able to be down there to celebrate at least one night with them, because then Saturday night we're going to be at EJ's, where we will announce those candidates who were approved by the board of directors for the first time.
Okay. Candidate announcement at EJ's on Friday.
Saturday the 27th at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And then Sunday, our lovely past Empress 19, who will be celebrating her 5th anniversary this January, Safonda St. John, will be hosting her annual pumpkin patch show at the BRB at 8 o'clock.
Good.
So we are full and booked for the rest of October.
Good, I know.
And headed into the stretch of November. So
yeah, this is the season now. There's stuff going on almost every weekend somewhere.
Uh-huh.
You know, some groups, some, in fact, more than one.
We're fighting for spots, is what it is.
Yes, I know. I know. I run into.
Gotta love the bars, though. If it wasn't for these establishments in this city, they certainly wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't be able to do what we do to support this community if it wasn't for them.
It's wonderful for them to support us in the way that they
give
do.
In more ways than one, besides just their space and their patronage of their customers' time. But they always seem to be there with a check and a little extra cash to throw in the bucket every single time that we're in there, as well as all their bartenders. So
Thank you. Really, really nice. It's heartwarming to see the establishments give back, you know, when they're already providing space and stuff for you to do your thing.
We were very diligent this year to make sure, Ian and I wanted to make sure that it was profitable for us, because if we're profitable as an organization, that's what leads to Legacy Community Health Services donations. But to go into these establishments and their venues and take of their time and their business space, it must be profitable for them. So we have really tried to make sure that it's a win-win situation for everybody in this community, and we can't afford to lose one more of these bars.
No, we can't.
We can't. Which doesn't give us a place to be ourselves.
Yes.
So
you're absolutely correct in that. So it's busy season starting up.
I don't know what I'll do when I get done. I'll have so much time. I'll still come and bother you. How's that?
That's fine. Because I want to.
I don't know. Another
spot.
Emperor and Empress may kick me out, but if not, I'll be sitting at home listening for one. That'll be nice.
But it's been fun this year.
It really has
been fun. You and Cheyenne have been here a few times, but you've also allowed your line members to be on, and
we have given you an opportunity to meet every single position of our line.
It's been great
over the course of the year.
So much fun, and I know some of you have been listening when those
they
spots
have
are on.
Because absolutely they have. And Cheyenne, I never miss a Saturday if we're here and they're on. Got to make sure that they don't dish us too bad. So it has been an absolute pleasure for us to be given this opportunity to share the year with you, which we've never done before.
I certainly want to keep this tradition
absolutely
going.
Absolutely a great relationship, and we do too.
Thank you. Most certainly. Okay. Chris?
Yeah?
Do we have something queued up?
Yes.
Because the Leather Boys are here with Leather Ties, Robert Tichy, and I don't know who else he's got tonight. We'll see.
They're naked.
Oh, okay. Maybe you want to stay
for this. I'm just trying to keep a visual for everybody while they listen to this next song.
The Leather Boys are naked.
I'm glad you're paying attention when the music ended.
Yeah, I was listening to that. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. That was Underworld. That was a real big throwback. That's Underworld before they changed their style of music. That's their very first album. Underneath the Radar, that song was called Call Me Number One. How are you, Chris?
I say, be thankful you don't call number two, because that's...
Oh, no. Well, I already saw that episode of South Park, okay? Okay, Bono. I was going to bring some U2 tonight, but I thought nobody's going to get that joke. I'm like, okay.
I'm in a Queen mood. I was watching Freddie Mercury special earlier today.
Oh, I just thought you mean you were flaming out tonight.
No. But it was like, I'm watching that going... And, you know, looking at some of his old performances on Queen, I'm like...
How could they not know he was a queer? I don't get it.
5'8", he comes out in a sleeveless t-shirt and a leather band across his...
Arm.
Across his arm. It's like, that's standard uniform at the Rip Court.
Yeah, but think about the time when he was doing this. It was just... It was a fashion statement. It was a costume on stage. Nobody really knew he was just this big, bad leather fag.
Okay. Yeah, and...
I mean, except for... Well, I'm not going to say it. Oh, look, I just spilled my coffee.
But no, I was watching that.
No. I want to go back to this Baptist preacher thing you were showing me on the computer. This Baptist preacher...
Let me get back to the
51
front.
Years old. You've got to read this. Before we start the show, you've got to read this, because this just falls right into my topic tonight of safe play.
Okay? The part I love about it is where I'm reading it from. They've got a little article on top. This is from thesmokinggun.com. So, you know, they've got the little news article portion of it. Then they have the official autopsy.
Oh, my God.
First, I want to know, is this the guy that was tapping the foot with the senator in the bathroom?
No. We'll see, I'm from Alabama, so, you know.
It doesn't matter. He might have been on the road. We don't know.
Ooh. Length is 72 inches. Oh, that must be height. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, God. Ice queen. Bad.
October 8th. An Alabama minister who died in June of, quote, accidental mechanical asphyxia, unquote, was found hog-tied.
Now I want to know how he hog-tied himself.
That's what I'm wondering, too. Hog-tied wearing two complete wetsuits, including a face mask, diving gloves, and slippers. Rubberized underwear and a head mask, according to the autopsy report. Investigators determined that the Reverend Gary Aldridge's death was not caused by foul play.
Oh, please. No, it's caused by bad, unsafe play. But, yeah, where was the person that hogtied him, and why didn't they call the cops? Why didn't they call a paramedic?
Apparently with the face mask, they he wasn't able to say a safe word. The Reverend Gary Aldridge's death...
That's why you have safe signals. Okay.
But he was hogtied, too.
Still, fingers, toes, you can move something that is a signal.
He's the former pastor of Montgomery's Thornton Road Baptist Church.
I can't say that.
Anyway. Was alone in his home at the time he died, while apparently in the midst of some autoerotic undertaking.
Yes, autoasphyxiation.
But how do you hogtie yourself?
He didn't. You can't hogtie yourself unless you're using handcuffs. That's easy to do with handcuffs.
Yeah. While the Montgomery Advertiser, which first obtained the autopsy records, reported on Eldridge's two wetsuits, the family newspaper chose not to mention what police discovered inside the minister's rubber briefs.
You mean in his rectum?
Eldridge served as a church pastor for 16 years. Immediately following his death, church officials issued a press release asking community members to please refrain from speculation about his demise. Let me get here. It's accidental association.
You know what I don't get? I was raised Baptist, and I mean, even kissing, dancing was a sin. And this guy is like in two rubber wetsuits with a dildo up his butt.
Evidence of injury.
Yeah, he was the minister. And they were telling me I was going to burn in hell for even thinking about kissing a guy.
Well, he didn't kiss any guy, apparently.
Well, apparently not. He had a ball gag, I'm sure.
The decedent is clothed in a diving wetsuit, a face mask with a single vent for breathing, a rubberized head mask having an opening for the mouth and eyes, a second rubberized suit with suspenders, rubberized male underwear, hand and feet Hands and feet have diving gloves and slippers.
Slippers or flippers?
It says slippers.
Slippers, okay.
There are numerous straps and cords for restraining the decedent. There's a leather belt about the midriff. There's a series of ligatures extending from the hands to the feet. The hands were bound behind the back. The feet were tied to the hands. There are nylon ligatures holding these in place with leather straps about the wrists and ankles. There are plastic cords also tied about the hands and feet with a single plastic cord extending up to the head and surrounding the lower neck. There is a dildo in the anus covered with a condom.
Well, at least he played safely with his rubber toys. Doc Johnson would be proud.
Apparently, also, he was not discovered quickly.
I don't want to know how ripe he was. Wasn't there also he was wearing a yellow ring on his finger or something?
Yes, that comes down into the personal effects.
I still don't care how you look at this. There's no way that man could have hogtied himself that way. He was playing with somebody, and that somebody left him there.
Yes.
And to me, that's involuntary manslaughter. Why are they not investigating
this? And not just that. Considering the fact that he was there for several days, you know, I could see, you know, something happened, you hit 911 and you run out of the house, you go down to a payphone and say, hey, you need to check on this. Apparently some time passed from his passing to his discovery.
This is just going right back to the Silver Casket case. Ugh.
The clothing and personal effects. Clothing. The decedent was received wearing two wetsuits.
Yeah, you said that.
Well, no, I mean, this is how they number out everything. Two ties, five belts, and 11 straps. Personal effects. One yellow metal ring intact on the left ring finger, and one dildo.
And condom.
No, they don't list the condom in there. But this is from the autopsy report, and... you know, I learned this one thing with Anna Nicole's, and when I read her autopsy...
They found her with a dildo up her butt, too.
No. They found her lawyer.
good answer.
But this one line that they use in an autopsy report, I just find hilarious, that the anus was unremarkable. It lists in...
I could say so many things, but I'm not going to.
And by the way, for those of you wondering about a 51-year-old Baptist preacher, his genitalia are normal for adult male external genitalia.
I would hope so.
So, for those of you worried
I assume that means he had no additional piercings or tattoos. I mean, what?
Nothing about those, but, you know, like I said, you know what?
They were normal.
Normal.
They were very Southern Baptist-y. He had Southern Baptisticals.
it's a weird thing when you look at some of the stuff and go, okay, when I die, they're just going to put down on official letterhead how well you're hung, how well you're stacked, and by God, if I go anytime soon, they better not put that my anus is unremarkable.
Well, but no, from what I've heard, your anus is very remarkable, so... That's only what I've heard, though.
This coming from the billiard man.
Yes. I like to shoot pool, so.
More ways than one.
Hey, I'd rather have an eight ball in the behind than be behind the eight ball any day.
You should write for Hallmark.
Oh, wouldn't that? Yeah, I'll write a new line of X-rated Maxine cards. No, but see, this is a perfect example of my topic tonight. Safe and sane fetish play. How to play safely. How to play sanely. And what to do if an accident happens. That's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Yay.
So we'll start out with one simple rule. There's one simple rule. Respect. That's the rule. You need to respect. You need to, this means never judge, never mock, never assume anything. You respect. You treat people the way you want to be treated. That goes from walk alive to a sexual encounter or a negotiated scene. You take the time to get to know the person you're going to play with and make sure you can trust them and respect them and have them respect your limits as well as you respecting their limits. Yeah. And obviously, this guy didn't have somebody looking out for him. It was just... a casual encounter that's with somebody who didn't know what they were doing and freaked out.
when you're a 51-year-old Baptist minister in Alabama, you probably aren't able to have that open connection you have.
Then why would you allow yourself to be put in that kind of dangerous position?
That's
what I'm saying. Number one, he didn't respect himself enough.
Yeah.
But the person that he chose to play with, we don't know if it was male or female, but who cares? The person he chose to play with did not respect that either, didn't know what they were doing, freaked out, ran away, and left him there for how many days on end before he was found? That's just not right. And the fact that the cops aren't even investigating that, that's scary. But that's Alabama. So, respect, that's the main key. That's the etiquette rule. Respect what you are doing, who you're doing it with, and take the time to get to know who you're doing. Make sure they know what they are doing, especially if you're going to be a bottom in a situation. So, where do you want to start? Let's start with blood sports.
Ew. Well, before we do that, let me just let everyone know that, because we're coming up to the top of the hour, I have to say it anyway, you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Org.
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 What did I say?
O-R-G.
Org. I did. Okay.
Yeah, you said it right.
I was about to say, I practiced the damn thing all up there.
I know you say that in your sleep. You wake up in the morning when your alarm clock rings, that's what you say.
I'm going to be so screwed over when we get rid of Galveston.
Okay, so.
And it's time for, and we're in our Leather Ties segment.
Yes, this is Leather Ties. I'm Daddy Bear Robert T. Tonight we're talking about safe and sane fetish play.
And of course, when you think of leather, here comes Jimmy.
Yeah, all you got to do is say leather and just, I mean, he smells the word. Hi, Jimmy. How you doing?
Just because he's old and tanned doesn't mean that.
What?
That's, damn.
Oh, no. He's not leather, baby. He's Naga hide. Save Jimmy.
Save the Naga hide. There
you go. Preferably pink. Yeah, to match that wig. I love that picture of you, Jimmy.
Oh, I loved it, too.
Jimmy did turnabout, and damn, he looked good. I was like, that dress you were wearing, that was great, but, oh, honey, that what was that champagne pink wig thing you were wearing?
It's just a bright pink wig.
What,
it belonged to Eartha Quake.
Yes, I know.
Pink is my color. So
baby, I recognize that wig. I know that was Eartha's wig. You know, I'm just surprised that you got an Eartha's dress. I mean,
that wasn't Eartha's dress.
I was going to say, how many days did it take you to take that in? But baby, you got some legs on you. You got some nice legs.
Thank you.
I didn't realize your legs were so hot because you're always wearing pants.
Working out at Lazarus House.
Excellent. You got some pretty gams on you.
And what you didn't realize that for that number,
mm-hmm.
it started out with at each ace there's the curtain in the back,
mm-hmm.
and what you saw is me kneeling down. Actually, you didn't see me kneeling down. You saw,
of course not. You just saw the guy standing in front of you.
You saw my shins sticking out from under the curtain, and. And then he started moaning.
Uh-huh. Oh, this is that, like, Fifth Element thing, yeah. When they take off and her legs go, meow. Is that what you're trying to tell
Something
me?
Something like that.
Okay.
And then he let out a large yell, and then I stood up, and he parted the curtain, and I backed out, and I put my hand up, and he put $5 in it, and then left the stage.
Sweet.
And I turned around, and there I am in that black dress and that pink wig with lipstick smeared all over my face.
Well, what did I tell you? You always wipe when you're done. Fish, you reapply.
Fishnet hose with the knees worn out.
The picture is fabulous. I told Judy I've got to get a copy of that. I'm gonna splash that all over the Louis website. I'm gonna put it everywhere. I'm gonna make posters of that and hang it up at all the bars. Here's Jimmy in drag. That's a great pose too. Whoever took, did you take that picture?
No, Christopher Prado took that picture.
Oh, Miss Prado did.
Prado took that picture, okay. And he
Sparkles.
Sparkles took it, and you got to get it from him if he'll give it to you.
Yes, I will.
Okay,
I'll blackmail him into it somehow. Yeah.
But actually, the song I did in that getup was "Love for Sale," the Harvey Fierstein.
Oh yeah, version. You told me you were going to do that too. Harvey Fierstein, perfect version,
yes,
for you.
Yes, yeah. Yes, that gravelly voice.
Yeah, like a bowling ball rolling down a gravel street. Yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah.
We raised some good money on that show, too. So I was very happy with that. And I hope I don't ever have to do that again.
Until next year.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Oh, please, you did it now. You're screwed. You're going to be doing it.
Doing that drag thing. Oh, God.
Hello. I know. Hello.
How do these drag queens do it week after week after week?
Well, this one is hysterical. When Chris, at the Louis Show of Shows, when Chris gets in drag for the Show of Shows number. Oh, good Lord.
I know it. He looks great.
Yeah.
I have to start working on getting my
you look
legs
like
tanned.
You look like Delta Burke before Jenny Craig.
Oh, he went there.
No, he does.
He does have that Delta Burke look.
Especially when he puts on that wig,
yeah.
He's got that Delta Burke face thing going on. Mm. I mean, the face fur even matches hers.
He's wearing blonde wigs, though. I just finally noticed there. I always thought the first wig I got, the partial beehive, I thought was, you know, closer to the Hairspray character I was kind of doing in the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I was suddenly looking there. It's Patsy from Absolutely Fabulous.
Ah.
I look at her hair.
Yeah.
You're a drunk bitch. Yeah, I can see that.
And let's go to music now. It's the hour.
Yes, and this is Leather Ties. What are you doing? We're talking about drag.
I know it. Well, you know, this
life is drag.
This is one of the few communities in the nation where leather and drag do mix.
Yeah, we do.
And
we do it very well.
That. I love that, and it raises a whole lot of money for the community.
Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to hit a song, or shall we go right into the topics?
Go into the topic. I was just going to do that to play for the rest of the hour, so you quit picking on me.
Oh.
Okay.
I remember when I got my first vest, I really wanted pink, and all the guys that I knew were you can't do that.
Oh, hell no.
What's wrong with pink leather?
Pink leather? Are you Miss Tuscadero?
I didn't have a choice.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Unless you're Patsy Cline or Pinky Tuscadero, no, you don't wear pink
leather.
Well,
I am a debris. After...
Oh, honey, even Queen Debris herself, Blanche Debris, does not own pink leather.
No, okay? She doesn't.
The only pink leather she owns are probably a pair of Poms. That's the closest she gets to pink leather. And Blanche is my next-door neighbor, so this I know.
So that you know. Well, I do have a Debris name.
Oh, what is your Debris name?
Trashy Pinky Debris.
Oh, good.
Or TP Debris for short.
Yeah. Now I know what the TP stands for. I thought it was something else, but never mind. Now we're going right back to that stomping your foot under the bathroom stall.
Yeah,
thing. So
there you go. The Larry Craig thing.
I don't know if I can even say my Debris name on the air. Well, actually, I can because it's a clinical word.
Okay.
I was officially christened Penis Debris.
Penis Debris.
And, well, for certain reasons that we're not going to go into, but...
Let's go to the videotape.
Let me get you the link. Yeah. And then at a certain pool party,
mm-hmm.
One of Blanche's infamous Memorial Day, Labor Day... Because Blanche always threw the pool parties over.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those wonderfully infamous pool parties where everybody kind of was drunk and naked and swimming around and playing volleyball and having
sounds
a good
time. Sounds great to me.
And you'll never wear Eartha's wig again. Eartha.
What did she do with it?
No, not the wig. Eartha thought it would be funny to go down on me.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to taste. Okay.
Okay.
Fine. Okay, fine. And I didn't realize Eartha was doing this, and I didn't realize Eartha had dentures.
You didn't realize someone was going down on you? How drunk
were you? I realized that she was doing this. I didn't know she was going to do that.
Oh.
You know? Because I was in the water. She just dove under the water and was just suddenly there.
Oh,
you know?
I see.
And I accidentally chipped one of her teeth.
Oh!
So now they call me tartar control debris because when she came up for air, she goes, honey, that knocks the tartar off anybody's teeth. And boom. So now I'm penis tartar control debris.
I see.
So. Shut up, virgin. Yeah, and if you saw this guy, you'd know why his name is Virgin, because it's not true.
It is not true.
No. Okay.
Okay.
No, it's not. I've seen his photos, too.
Uh-huh. We'll talk. So what are we talking? Speaking of talk, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about safe and sane fetish play.
Yeah.
How to play safely, do's and don'ts, tips and tricks, and
good
what to
idea.
Do if something actually happens, an accident happens, what
mm-hmm.
to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought we'd start with the most hardcore and scariest stuff, like, you know, blood sports, water sports,
mm-hmm.
handballing, wax.
Yeah.
We'll go there.
Okay.
It's a workshop that I did for the Houston Leather Boys during a Babel presentation, and they all loved it. So I thought, okay, let's do this on the air and get this information out there.
You bet. You bet.
So we'll start with blood sports.
Okay.
Blood sports includes, but it's not limited to, piercing, cutting, body shaving, biting. Anything that has the possibility of drawing blood can become a blood sport.
Oh, so, I didn't know shaving was considered a blood sport.
It can be. You get somebody as hairy as this and you shave him, yeah, there's going to be a lot of stubble and nicks.
Okay? Oh.
That's blood.
Well, I've done it before and then didn't nick him at all.
I'm not going to say a word. So, let's start with the obvious. You need to know who you're playing with. You need to know their status.
Mm-hmm.
Not just HIV status. You need to know if they have any blood-borne diseases, if they're hemophiliac.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, you cut a hemophiliac, they're not going to stop bleeding.
That's true.
Not good.
That's not good.
You don't take aspirin for pain. Aspirin is a blood thinner,
mm-hmm.
okay? There are really two types of blood sports. One is actually bloodletting, like razor blades or knives,
yeah.
cutting. Temporary piercing and biting, two other things.
Mm-hmm.
Most people who get into biting don't really bite purposely to break skin. They're just biting for the sensation.
Yeah.
Sometimes breaking skin
sometimes
happens.
Sometimes it happens.
But razor...
But you really need to know somebody's blood status before you start doing stuff
well, yeah,
like
I
that.
Yeah, I mean, even if they've got, like, any blood-borne disease, gonorrhea, the clap, syphilis...
Hep C.
Hep C, HIV,
yeah.
whatever, you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play this extreme game.
Yeah. Or you may, because of that, not.
Or choose to modify how you play this game.
You bet.
Obviously, you want to be wearing, whoever's playing the top in the situation needs to be wearing protective gear,
mm-hmm.
gloves, glasses, goggles. I mean, you know, think mad scientist, wear that, okay?
Goggles, I never thought of that.
If you're literally getting into knife play,
yeah.
razor blades, there is a possibility of blood squirting.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want that in your eye.
True.
So, I mean, if you don't wear glasses, wear some cool sunglasses or some shades or something that you can still see and look cool.
Yeah.
Fine. But, you know, protect your eyes.
Look
protect
like the big bad daddy that you're not.
Yeah. See this finger? Wait, see this finger? Ignore it.
Okay.
Now read between the lines.
I see.
Okay. Oh, baby, who broke your crayons this morning? Damn, you're in a bad mood. Okay.
Sorry.
Again,
I didn't mean to offend anyone.
If you need something, no, you didn't offend me. Trust me, I've been called worse to my face, okay? It's more fun when they say to my face, then I get a chance to respond.
Yeah.
Again, don't use aspirin as a painkiller. It is a blood thinner.
Yeah.
And we all know the story about Boy Carey. I'm not going to say who,
mm-hmm.
his real name. But Boy Carey got a PA
mm-hmm.
and was working... In
for folks who don't know, that's a Prince Albert.
A Prince Albert, which is a piercing through the glands of the penis.
Mm-hmm.
And he took aspirin for the pain.
Ooh.
And five or six of them.
Oh.
And then showed up to work. And we were like, blue leather chaps, very cool. And then we realized, no, he's not wearing chaps. His jeans are just soaked because he started bleeding profusely.
God.
So we ended up having to... maxi pad him.
Yeah.
And get him an extra pair of pants. So he ended up basically wearing diapers for a couple of days because all the aspirin he took thinned out his blood and he just kept bleeding. He wouldn't stop. So don't do aspirin. If you need a painkiller, use ibuprofen, acetaminophen, which is like Excedrin, ibuprofen, something like that.
Someone with epilepsy like I have. You take Dilantin, and Dilantin is a blood thinner.
Mm-hmm. So then that would not be a good game for you to play.
Right, right.
Needle play. Needle play is a blood sport only in the fact that when you pull the needles out... There's going to be a little blood.
Mm-hmm.
So know this, take precautions. If you're going to play
make sure that you can buy individual blades, sterilized blades, mm-hmm. Home Depot, anywhere.
Oh, sure.
And you can buy them in 50, 100 packs. They're dirt cheap. Mm-hmm. If you're going to play, get the disposables. Don't try to reuse. Unless you actually own a medical conclave, get disposable everything.
You should probably get disposable anyway. Yeah. It's just easier.
Yeah. But, and so if you can get razor blades pretty much at any hardware store.
Mm-hmm.
And they come sterile. Keep them that way.
Remember when you could get them at, like, Walgreens?
Oh, yeah. But they don't sell that kind of razor anymore, so you can't really buy them. But now they have just the single-side razor that's used for the box cutters that you slide into the box cutter.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not the double-edged razor blade, so there's no risk of you cutting yourself by holding it.
Yes.
You only have the one side that has the blade on it. Needles. Pretty much any medical supply store carries single-use needles.
Yes, because it has
to
be.
And you can buy those in packs of 25, 100, whatever.
Yeah.
Single-use needles. Usually, most people use an 18 or 20 gauge because the thinner the needle,
sure,
the less problems you're going to have and the more sensation you'll actually have.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I mean, past that, you're getting into real piercing. You might as well hang a ring through it, you know?
Okay. Okay.
Well, the higher the gauge, the thinner the needle is.
Mm-hmm.
The lower the number, the thicker the metal is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that can really hurt. And you're not in it for the extreme pain, per se. You're in it for the high, the mental, the endorphin rush that you get from the bit of pain that you're getting.
Mm-hmm.
Hardcore pain pigs, yeah, fine. I know guys that are very much into scarification. And scarification, again, know who you're doing.
Oh, yeah.
Have a professional do this. If you don't want a tattoo and you want to go for scarification, have a professional do this. And that even includes, instead of using blades, they normally you will use, like, what are those? The hot needles that they use for, like, burning designs into leather and stuff.
Oh, yes.
That's what they use.
Yes, yeah.
And a wood-burning, you know, the wood-burning tool. And a lot of people are into this. Now, I also know that there is a mistress here, Mistress Elizabeth. She does do scarification.
Mm-hmm.
And she does some beautiful patterns.
Miss Elizabeth that we know from
Whip Society.
Yeah.
She does incredible designs and incredible patterns, but she's also sane. She knows what she's doing.
That's right.
And she's safe, and it's a safe environment.
And she's been doing it a long time.
Right.
So,
these
types of things are not something you want an amateur
to do. No. Not even something as simple as needle play.
Yeah.
Well, I say simple, but I mean, you think compared to scarification or razor blades, needle play is... You would think it's easier, but no, it's actually more difficult because you need to know where to place the needles, how deep to go into the skin and the tissue before you cause permanent damage.
Wow.
So, yeah.
How do you learn stuff like this?
You find a mentor.
Okay.
You find somebody to teach you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Mistress Elizabeth, there are quite a few people in this community that are into the more extreme fetishes that you can learn from.
Okay.
But rubber gloves, vinyl gloves,
always.
Latex gloves, always. And that's just so...
And if you're working with different people, change them in between.
Oh, most definitely. And constantly change them. I mean, if you take a break, say you're using needle play or you're playing with razor blades.
Mm-hmm.
Needle play, for example, that's the easiest. If you're inserting needles and you're going to let the bottoms sit there and just enjoy the feeling for a little bit, and you're going to take a break, you're going to go, like, have a soda or... smoke a cigarette or whatever, change gloves.
Mm-hmm.
And the main reason why you should be wearing gloves in the first place is because even if you've washed your hands, just from moving around, touching things in the room, you could get bacteria or other things on your hands and transmit that directly into their bloodstream from the wound that you've just purposely given them that they asked you for.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're gonna actually give somebody a wound like that, be sane enough to protect them as much as you can against.
Do you use alcohol on the skin before?
Well, no, I don't like using alcohol. I mean, there are a lot of other antiseptics you can do that won't burn the skin.
Oh, okay.
Same thing for aftercare. With needles, when you pull the needles out, rubbing alcohol, no, bad.
No?
Okay. Hydrogen peroxide, bad.
Okay, what?
Because both burn and dry out the skin.
Oh, okay.
If you're going to use something, have antiseptic wipes.
Mm-hmm.
That don't have that alcohol in them. There, you can. Most first aid kits in everywhere you work have these antiseptic wipes.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You can get them at Walgreens.
They come in a little pack.
Yeah,
packets.
Little individual packs.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have the alcohol in them. They don't burn you. If you really want to get extreme and scare them, use iodine.
Whoa!
But just dye their skin red in some pretty patterns for a while. But if you're going to do that, use an antiseptic wipe. I like to use Neosporin Plus,
mm-hmm.
because Neosporin is an antibacterial. It is an ointment. It is not going to dry out the skin. It actually does condition the skin. And the Neosporin Plus also has a bit of painkiller in it. So
okay.
If they are feeling too uncomfortable, it will deaden the area just enough that it's tolerable.
What about the ointment versus the cream?
Creams I don't really care for. There's too many chemicals in the cream itself, and there's less to me. I mean, if you read the ingredients on anything, the ingredients are listed in the order. This goes for food to medication. The order that the ingredients are listed in is the order of this has the most of this to the least of this.
Yeah.
And if you look at creams, most of it actually is a bunch of crap chemicals, and then you get to the actual antibiotic.
Okay.
And okay. So, no, creams, if you want to use them, fine. I don't like them.
Okay.
That's just me.
No, I was just asking.
So, for blood sports, if you want to play, and biting, let's cover biting real
quick. Let's do that.
Body shaving.
It's not something that we've covered a lot here.
Body shaving. Let's go to body shaving for a second. Me? I'm a leather bear.
Mm-hmm.
I like body hair. Body shaving is offensive to me.
Okay.
Okay. So this is not coming from my perspective, but this is what you do. And yes, I have taken somebody hairier than virgin hair
mm-hmm.
and dry shaved him completely. Dry shave.
Oh my goodness.
Instead of using shaving cream, a wet shave, you used talc. And a straight razor. Used a straight razor and dry shave something.
I thought you'd just take him to an animal clinic and get a grooming done.
No.
He could use a flea dip.
Yeah, I was going to say he needs to get... Oh, speaking of the Houston Leather Boys, they're doing their dog wash like next Sunday on the 20th.
We'll
take Virgin
that.
Over there and we'll get him flea dipped.
Because you can... For $15, they're going to wash... your two-legged pups or your four-legged pups.
Yeah, make sure your two-legged pups are street legal, though. And
can you? Next topic will be, can you use a flea collar as a cock ring?
If you pump that hard and that long every day, sure, go right ahead.
That would be scary.
Yeah. Body shaving. If you're going to body shave, disposable razors. If I prefer mm-hmm. when I do any kind of shaving, and yes, I have shaved people before, and I find it very erotic. They're going to hate me in a couple of days when all the hair starts growing back in and it itches like hell.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah.
Well, it depends on the person because it doesn't itch me.
Yeah, but you're predominantly hairless, John.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm very hairless.
We're talking about, you get somebody like him, or somebody as furry as I am, and you shave that bald, it's really going to start itching.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. Didn't you get a great belly?
Yeah, I do like that belly.
I'll show you the pictures later.
Okay.
Okay. But if you're going to body shave, wet shaving, if you're going to do wet shaving, use a good lotion. A good shaving cream. I don't like shaving cream for body shaving. I use lotion. Number
what kind
one,
of
you
lotion?
Can see what you can see what you're doing, like Nivea, something like that.
Okay.
Just something that's clean, good for the skin, conditions the skin while you're doing this.
I've
used the little disposable Bic razors.
Yeah.
It's better to use a single blade razor than it is to use like a double or a triple. That I find. That's my opinion.
I've used hair conditioner.
Hair conditioner works very well too.
Yeah.
Shampoo works very well, but what you want to be able to do is see, especially if you're shaving the chest. You don't want to shave off their nipple.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
You want to keep those intact to play with later. Okay.
Yes, you have to be very careful around that
area. You shave off the nipple, there's nothing to put the clamps on. Okay. All right. So, I use a straight razor when I shave somebody.
No, I don't.
It's not that very skilled technique.
Yeah,
don't try it if you don't know it. Again, the best thing you can do is just like you've seen on these stupid sitcoms. Blow up a balloon covered in shaving cream and learn how to do a straight razor. When you can shave an entire balloon without popping it, then try it on yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do it on yourself, like shave your arm, shave your leg, without cutting yourself, then you might be ready to actually put that blade on somebody else's skin.
I'm just...
Otherwise, don't do it.
No, I like the disposable.
But there is a very specific angle and technique that you need to use and hold that straight razor at in order to... cut the hair off without peeling their skin off.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to get into this, and you know, most guys, they shave down there.
Their crotch?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, well...
A lot of guys shave their crotch. Well, gay and straight.
I hate that bald look. It's just prepubescent. I like a man. I mean, this
but
is...
But do you like it trimmed?
No.
Okay, you like bushy.
Well, I mean, if you're gonna trim it, fine, trim it. But, and I mean, if you're gonna shave your testicles, your ball sack, then go ahead and shave that. But I mean, don't shave halfway up your crotch. That just looks stupid. You shave to the base of your penis, the base of the shaft. Don't shave any higher.
Oh, really?
If you put on a cock ring and you still see a bald spot on top of the cock ring, you shaved too high. That's ugly. Okay.
But if you're wearing a cock ring, you really need to shave.
Not really. Depends on what kind you're wearing.
Ooh.
If you're wearing like a Vulcan or a metal, no, you don't need to shave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You're wearing rubber or leather, you probably should trim at least.
Yeah.
Rubber, yeah, shave. Dip your balls in Nair.
I would not suggest dipping your balls in Nair.
No, that burns like hell.
Yeah.
We'll get into fire play later.
But I'll tell you, when you get older...
It falls out naturally.
No.
Turns white. You can't see it.
I know I'm getting older, but I do not want to see gray hair in my pubes.
So you shaved up? I mean,
yes, I do.
And you dye it?
No, I shave.
Yeah, I'm Clairol 407.
Brunette.
Okay. If you're gonna dye your pubes, really don't go lower than the shaft. Or you're in trouble.
Yeah. Now, biting. There's two types of players with this fetish.
Okay.
Okay. Like I said earlier, you get a lot of people who are just into the nipping and biting as sex play, kind of arousal thing. Gets the skin excited and tingly.
Are we talking about like hickeys and things like that?
Yeah, you can even consider it that, but I'm talking actually biting.
Okay.
Okay, nipping and biting on body parts.
More than just the nipples.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you see in some movies, that, you know, biting on the shoulder, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But that, fine. Then there are other people that have what I call the vampiric fetish, where they purposely are biting to break skin and draw blood.
Oof.
That's your thing? Fine. That's a hard limit for me.
Yeah.
Sorry. But, obviously, if you're into that bloodletting type of biting... You better know who you're playing with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know? And what do you do if you are just doing the nipping, biting thing?
Chris...
Oh, Chris is busy reading his honcho magazine. if you're going to get into the nipping and biting thing and you do accidentally break skin, I mean, what do? Don't freak out. Don't run screaming into the night. I mean, the best thing to do, obviously, don't swallow. Stop the scene.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom. Get some mouthwash. Rinse your mouth out, spit, do not gargle.
And we're talking about 20% alcohol mouthwash, right?
Yeah. I mean, get Listerine or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, even if you don't have that, rinse your mouth out with water, brush your teeth. Do not swallow. If you're using mouthwash, do not throw your head back and gargle, because all you're doing is swallowing.
Mm-hmm. You probably will.
And... make sure that person that you just bit and broke their skin, you got to have antiseptic wipes, you got to have bandages. Anytime you get in any kind of needle play, razor play, biting, things you need single-use needles if you're playing with needles. Yes. You can get those at pretty much any medical supply store. You can probably get them at Walgreens or CVS.
Sure.
In the diabetic department or whatever. sterile cutting utensils,
mm-hmm.
which would be like disposable razor blades. You can get at any Home Depot or
now,
place
those
like that.
Are those sterile at Home Depot?
Yeah, they come individually wrapped.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They come like in a little box. They come individually wrapped in cardboard. They're sterilized,
mm-hmm.
and then they're placed in this little cardboard cup.
Okay.
To keep you from if they actually spill or if you pull it out from the cardboard, you're not cutting yourself. It is protected.
Sure.
They are sterile.
Okay.
Play with it, throw it away. If you're going to throw toys away like this, needles, razors, whatever, have a plastic container.
You bet.
Don't throw it in the trash because then you forget it's in there. You go try to stomp down the trash, get that last Coke can in there, and now you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So you need if you're going to play with needles, single-use needles, toss them. Sterile cutting utensils
mm-hmm.
that are disposable, preferably. Antibacterial wipes,
mm-hmm.
rubber gloves, latex gloves, vinyl gloves, something. I prefer vinyl because vinyl gloves, they're very versatile. They can be used for a lot of things. Rubber gloves, latex gloves, certain lubes aren't compatible with.
That's right.
But
that's right.
Vinyl gloves, number one, vinyl gloves are a little bit thicker. They come in 9 fashionable colors now. You can get these at Home Depot. Before we go any further,
I want to mention that if anybody wants to contribute to this show or have a question, they can call us at 713-526-5738 or 713-JAM-KPFT.
Yeah, jam it, baby, jam. But I prefer vinyl gloves.
Okay.
Simply because they're more versatile.
You can get them where?
Oh, please, you can get them at any hardware store, Home Depot.
Because I guess I've never looked.
You can go to Home Depot or whatever, and you can even get them at Walgreens.
Oh, okay.
You just need to make sure that when you're looking at the box, it says vinyl. It doesn't say latex.
Okay.
Because latex gloves, just like latex condoms, are not compatible with a lot of lube.
That's right.
So if you get the vinyl, you can use them for this kind of play. They're a little bit thicker.
Mm-hmm.
But
not as thick as, like, dishwashing gloves
or something.
Like that.
I mean, they're just a little bit thicker than latex gloves.
Okay.
But they still have the same properties, stretchy, thin, sheer. And you still have sensation when you're wearing them.
So if you're, but those are the kind of things you would use for handballing.
Right.
Yeah.
For handballing, and like I said, they're versatile. You can use them for anything you need to protect yourself or
mm-hmm.
protect your partner with.
Yeah.
When using your hands. They fit great over your feet, too, because I'll show you the pictures of Boy Joe when they did him as a ducky. That was cute.
Feet?
Yeah, they put him on his feet and made him... They got yellow ones and made him a little ducky.
Aww.
When they had a bondage in a bag game. And... Well, you know,
we could go off on a tangent there,
Well, you've seen Drag in a Bag.
Yes.
You know how that works.
So this
Bondage in a Bag. You get, like, jump ropes, you get...
all these different things.
Gloves, you get clamps, you get, you know,
all
whatever. All kinds of crap that can be used to subdue somebody, and then they get 5 minutes to try to completely subdue somebody.
Oh.
And it's...
Cool.
So, yeah, it's a fun, silly anniversary run game.
Sounds like it.
And again, no aspirin.
What about things like Tylenol?
Acetaminophen, ibuprofen, great. They aren't blood thinners.
Uh-huh.
Anything that's a blood thinner, if you're playing blood sports, or if a bite, break happens,
mm-hmm.
skin break happens accidentally, you don't want to use aspirin. Aspirin's a blood thinner. That's what they give to people when they have heart attacks.
Mm-hmm.
So... And I'll just go back to Boy Harry on that one. Don't use aspirin.
And don't drink before you do these.
Yeah. Well, obviously, yeah. You want to be plain sailing. You don't want to be drunk or impaired or stoned
or
whatever.
Yes.
I mean, if you're gonna play with Tina and stay on the dance floor. Don't go. And I don't condemn that.
Don't play with Tina at all. Really would be the best thing.
Yeah.
Because Tina will screw you up.
Yeah. And she doesn't write that good of music anyway.
Oh, let's take a musical break here.
Play me some Grace. I want some Grace Jones. You got some Grace in there?
You brought your own CDs.
Yeah,
you tell me you got her in there.
Wait, I don't know. It should be Grace, yeah?
The next one?
Yeah. No?
Oh, what you had next.
Oh, C.B. Milton. Yeah, we love C.B. Milton.
Okay.
He's an openly gay artist from Belgium. His lover is gorgeous.
Mm.
And this guy has got a phenomenal voice and it writes incredible music.
Good.
So, we'll be right back after this musical interlude.
A funny situation. Every time I look around, I see someone in love and it's getting me down. As people come together, yeah, they give their love so sweet. I see them walking hand in hand. No, there ain't nothing better. But what about
I'm
What?
I cannot say that on the air in good conscience.
What can't she say?
Lynn is here, and she said that after you're done with shaving, there's a fabulous product that ladies use, that women use. It is called...
It's called Bikini Zone.
Bikini what?
Bikini Zone.
Zone.
We're
zone?
To say it. Yes.
Okay.
Z-O-N.
Ooh, screech.
And why is it so good, Lynn?
Because it's got lidocaine in it, which is good after you shave.
Uh-huh.
It helps numb once you start growing your hair back.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help numb that so that it's not the prickly.
Oh, so this is something you put on afterwards?
Yes, afterwards.
And yeah, like the next day or several applications or what?
You use it two or three times a day. And what it does is it's got the lidocaine in it, which kind of numbs it. So when the hair starts growing back out,
it's not itchy.
It's not prickly.
Okay. It's not prickly itchy. Hate you.
Yeah, and some people get like little red bumps, mm-hmm. like ingrown hairs.
Oh.
And it's got a cream in there that helps soothe that and soften it. And,
okay.
And it, within about 24 hours, will solve your bump issue.
Yeah, I've heard it.
Well, excellent. Thank you.
I know a lot of people do get ingrown hairs when it starts growing out. It's never happened to me, but...
Jimmy, yeah, but you've got what? Hairless.
Yeah, you've got like five hairs on your whole body. Okay, your face? No, you got lots of fur on your face. And, but honey,
well, only what you see.
Yeah.
It doesn't grow on the cheeks very well.
Oh,
and you know, and it, yeah,
if
it's
I let mine
sparse.
If I let mine all grow out, it looks like one of those cavemen people. So.
Welcome back.
Yay.
Yes.
Yay. And I have been corrected. Merlin told me that I brought too much class to this joint by saying it was a musical interlude. So it wasn't a musical interlude. It was some really cool fag music that we were going to listen
yes,
to.
Yes, it was. And what was it?
That was C.B. Milton. Mm-hmm. He's the guy I was telling you about.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually... The rare times that I don't sing live, I will perform one of his songs.
No.
Because I just love his words. They're so positive, and
yeah,
he really has a message to his music. He had one big hit in the U.S., but it's a loving thing. That was like the first huge hit song mm-hmm. about HIV.
Oh.
But
now, there were two songs played.
Yeah. They were both by C.B.
Oh,
Milton.
Both by him? Okay.
Uh-huh. What About Me and We Are the One.
Oh, I like that one. I like that one.
Yeah, yeah. I've done We Are the One. Mm-hmm. You've seen me do that mm-hmm. one before. So, back to fetish play and fun stuff.
Okay.
Let's talk about being a wethead.
What's that?
What's that?
Water sport.
Oh, okay.
Whoa. Oh, yeah.
I call them wetheads.
Okay.
When you get peed on?
Yes.
Oh.
Water sports. We don't mean surfing and skiing. Okay. This one's sitting here proudly displaying his yellow wristband.
Yes.
So that means you can get into the clubs and drink, right?
On his right hand, I know that.
I'm not going to say a word.
Okay. Uh-huh.
For those who don't know, left side is dominant, right side is passive.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just waving his hand at the bar. Okay, so.
Good for you.
Yeah. Water sports. Very different experience for everybody. Oh, Merlin's got to come join in on this. Huh?
Very first word coming through that door I heard was water sports. I'm like,
okay.
Whoa, whoa.
Close your mouth, Merlin.
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. If we're going to be discussing water sports, I'm removing this.
Chris had a yellow foam thingy over his microphone.
So he decided to remove it.
Yes. So we would not be confused by thinking that Chris was underwater sports.
Okay.
Or does he go on the right side?
Whichever side you prefer, baby.
Well, you know, this is KPFT, so we believe in pissing people off. So.
Yeah. Well, then why not just hang it in the middle like a necklace?
Mm. There you go.
It's spongy. It'll absorb.
I'm not going to say it. It will not absorb what I could give you. I was born in Texas.
Let's go to the video.
I was born in Texas. I have a 10-gallon bladder, baby, not a 10-gallon hat.
Drink more beer.
Beer is your friend.
Yes.
Okay, so water sports. Very different for everybody. Some people like to give it. Some people like to take it. Some people take it any way you can give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking orally, anally.
On the body.
On the body, in the body.
On the clothing.
Clothing,
yes.
Well, I know some couples, they'll be out and a Dom will tell his boy will say, sir, may I go to the restroom? They say, yes, now, here. So, yeah, it's a very different scene for everybody, and everybody has their own limits of play.
Mm-hmm.
So, things you need to consider with water sports, obviously, know who you're playing with.
Mm-hmm.
Most people in the medical community say that urine is sterile.
Mm-hmm. I've heard that. I've read that.
One of the things they teach you with combat training, and I mean, this goes all the way back. I even saw this. I've seen this in several movies. So, yeah, it's true. It's in a movie. But they teach you that if you're stranded, like out in the desert somewhere, you have no water, that it is safe to recycle your urine at least twice before it becomes toxic to you.
Okay.
So, some people say, there are still some people in the medical community that say, no, you can still get something from urine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to play that scene, so don't do it. The majority of the medical community say, no, urine is sterile. In fact, a lot of them tell you to drink your own morning pee because you're losing too many vitamins and minerals.
Gandhi did it.
Yeah. Too strong a flavor for me. Sorry.
They showed that in,
what, Capricorn 1?
No, that one show, Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor Man.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, you can do this. And it's one thing that it's basic training, pretty much. But for what we're talking about, it's not basic training. It's fun. It's play.
Yes.
So let's talk about the play aspect of it. Again, some people will take it any way you want to give it to them. Some people are very limited. Only pee on me, not in me.
Mm-hmm.
Don't pee on me. I just like to pee on you.
Mm-hmm.
Things you need to consider. Let's talk about diet.
Okay. Oh, yes.
First thing we should talk about with this game is diet. What you eat affects the strength of the flavor of your urine.
Oh, absolutely.
So, if you're eating dark vegetables, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, turnip, collard greens, spinach, things like this, it's going to make it taste very strong and bitter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody, you know the joke about asparagus piss.
Oh, yes.
So, you really want that new, unless you're, but you need to understand that everybody has their own limits as far as flavor is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Red meats will normally make your urine bitter.
Oh.
Plain black coffee, dark tea, dark soda will make your urine bitter.
Oh.
It not necessarily.
All the things I love.
It will make it strong. Well, it will make it strong, but it'll make it bitter.
Gotcha.
Things that will make it really just unpalatably strong would be things like asparagus, radishes, of all things, will do this to you.
I love those too.
Dark sodas. I mean, if you're gonna.
Coffee and Diet Coke. Here I am.
There you go. But a lot of liquors also will do the same thing, especially gin, whiskey, bourbon.
However, beer.
But vodka, beer, rum. Most people tank up with beer because beer just, it's a very nice light flavor. If there's any, it doesn't affect the flavor of your urine. Vodka, clear soda, like 7-Up, ginger ale, Sprite, soda water, seltzer water, no. Seltzer water makes it bitter, but soda water, fine.
Or just plain water.
Plain water is the best.
Mm-hmm.
Light teas, like chamomile, Earl Grey, things like that, not a dark tea.
Mm-hmm.
White meats, turkey, chicken, fish, don't have an effect on the flavor. When you think, if you're going to think vegetables, think salad ingredients.
Sure.
Except for tomatoes. Tomatoes can make it pretty acidic. I mean, you know. But if you're going to do vegetables, the best way to do vegetables, eat them raw. It's better for you anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Or steam them. I mean, a lot of it has to do with the way that the foods are cooked. I mean, most people slather stuff in butter and sauces and all this other crud, and that crap will affect. I mean, the basic rule is, whatever you take in, that's what you piss out. You eat junk, you're gonna output junk.
Yeah.
So, chocolate, as yummy as chocolate is, no.
No.
Don't.
Okay.
If you're gonna play, the best thing to do, eat an hour or two ahead of time if it's scheduled play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you've actually negotiated a scene and you're gonna play, then fine. Eat an hour or two. Eat light. I mean, you've got time to eat after.
And drink a lot of water.
Eat something light. Drink water or light tea or clear soda to help process faster.
Beer.
Beer. Yeah, beer is great.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that in a second. But the best thing to do, eat a couple hours in advance. That way you know you've got time. You can flush out the first one or two times you have to pee, mm-hmm. waste it. I always say this when I'm at the bar. I always tell you, I'll be right back. Got to go waste a load.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I got to go pee. You know.
I'm glad you clarified that.
That's what I say. I got to go waste a load.
Yeah,
this is a really good load, and there's nobody to play with, so I'll just go waste this load.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's called oversharing, isn't it? Yeah. But... Yeah. Eat a couple hours ahead of time. Give yourself enough time to flush out your system so that when it comes time to play, everything's nice and clean and you can have a good time with it.
Mm-hmm.
Best thing that works for me, a couple of beers makes you gotta pee.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
After that, seriously, drink water. Mm-hmm. That ensures you keep peeing. And what I'll normally do if I'm gonna play this, I'll have a couple of beers, two, maybe three tops, but two beers usually. Because one beer, nothing. Two beers, I can relax. Then after that, water, 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 and maybe once an hour.
Have another beer?
Or once every 2 hours, I'll have another beer.
Okay.
Because you start drinking that much water, you're going to bloat yourself. You don't want to do that. I mean, you've got to understand what your body can handle.
But wow.
If you're going to start playing this, if it interests you, if you watch porno movies or clips on the web or whatever, you see pictures and it turns you on to see it, it's probably going to turn you on to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably notice on a lot of different websites and videos and things like this, you always see them in the bathtub.
Yes.
Or in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
That's the best place to get a feel for whether or not you like this and how far you want to go with it. Because if you don't like it, you're already in the shower, rinse it off. Okay.
And it's over.
And keep it as a fantasy.
Sure.
Okay? If you're going to play that way, again, don't... When you first actually... If you decide to drink, obviously, try it on yourself first. Drink your own. But... Best way to do it, again, in the tub, if you're going to do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's clean up some breeze if you're in the tub.
There you go.
Yeah. Otherwise, invest in a good plastic tarp. You can get them at Home Depot or rubber sheets because you can always just roll them up and throw them away. Best thing in the world is those painter's tarps.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can buy it like a 5 or 10 pack and they're like 15 feet by 15 feet. Hey,
sure.
Great for water sports, for play. Then you can get as messy as you want and you just roll it up and bye-bye. And, you know, the floors are clean.
Yes.
You don't have to mop and glow. So, you just mop and go.
I can't help but be sitting here and wondering who it is on
this
on
is Merlin talking, if anybody wants to know.
What?
I'm just kind of curious exactly who it was who took the time to study all of the details you just mentioned about how... things taste and
over time.
That would be me.
Him. Specifically him.
Well, not just me, but me and all of the other people that I know, because I'm into water sports. I like it. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, you learn to know what's going to affect your body, what's not going to affect your body. Just like I love mayonnaise, it doesn't love me. So I just don't eat mayonnaise, unless mm-hmm. I want stomach cramps.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So, cucumbers. Love cucumbers, hate cucumber burps.
Mm.
You know?
I love garlic. I eat garlic. Everybody within
garlic.
30 feet of me will know that
I eat garlic, and I'm sitting in the throne room passing law after law after law. Okay? And then I flush.
Jimmy's going, what?
Jimmy's like, that's a good thing.
No, but I mean, there are a lot of foods that I love, but they don't love me. So in moderation, or just... If you know you're going to play this, don't eat those foods.
Okay. We've just got a few more minutes left. So,
so if you're going to play, play safe. And know that what your limit is with this. Play with yourself first before you try to bring anybody else into it. Now, you want to get into handballing?
A little bit. Let's do. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to know what this one is.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
You don't know?
Oh, that was.
Oh, okay.
Handballing is fisting.
All right.
I mean, I've heard fisting that's very intense.
It's kind of like a misnomer because most people can't take an actual closed fist. So handballing is a little bit more.
Oh, I have a great story about that.
You can tell us that off the air because I know you, Merlin. Okay. Here are the myths and the concerns with handballing really quickly.
Okay.
Handballing. If you take a fist up your anus, that you're going to permanently stretch yourself out, and it's never going to go back down, and you're going to be wearing grampers by the time you're 40.
Absolutely not.
Not true.
Because the sphincter is a muscle.
And if anything, you're doing exercises, all you're doing is exercising that muscle, it's just going to make it stronger. You have more control over it.
Yes.
So... Kegel, Kegel, Kegel.
That's right.
But do Kegel exercises. I mean, the one thing you've got to learn is you have more than one sphincter.
Mm-hmm.
You have the outer one, which we call the a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have about 2 or 3 inches inside, there is another sphincter.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to go a little bit further in, about there's a third sphincter.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But if... It's learning to control those sphincters, relax them, to take something like this. Most people freak out when I talk about fisting. Oh, my God, that's so disgusting. How can you do that? Ugh. And, you know, you look in their toy box, they got toys bigger than my arm.
You know, exactly.
Mm-hmm. You can sit on a fire extinguisher, but you freak out when you talk about my hand. It is all... It's a mental... It's an extreme form of sex.
Sure.
Yes.
And there is vaginal fisting also.
Oh, yes, definitely. But, I mean, same thing with the women that I know that get into it. The same myth applies that, oh, you're going to stretch the vagina out so far, it'll never go back, it'll never get tight again. And no, not true.
No.
I mean,
because it's a muscle.
A woman can pass an 8-pound bowling ball that we call baby.
Exactly.
And the vagina is a very elastic, beautiful, wonderful thing. From what I've been told. From what I've read, yes. And sometimes you get the angry vagina, but that's just a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing applies, vaginal fisting, anal fisting. I know people that can take that Coke bottle right there.
Yeah, I've seen lots of films like that.
Beer bottles, Coke bottles, and
wine bottle.
Look at your hand, look at your arm.
There's one guy I saw in a video that was using wine bottles.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And I said fire extinguisher because I have seen a couple of clips of a woman doing that.
But if you're going to insert something like that, glass especially...
Oh, number one, you're stupid to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, because if it breaks, you're in...
We all know the light bulb
You're in
story.
A world of trouble.
We all know the light bulb story. That's
well, I think... Well, at least with a wine bottle, it's a little thicker.
Yeah.
Beer bottle's a little thicker.
It's a thicker, harder glass, but still, it's glass.
Yeah. But the problem is... if you're sticking it in opening first, then you can create a vacuum if you're not careful.
Yeah, if you're going to do that, it needs to go in slow and go out slow. Don't bounce on it. Because when you bounce on something that has an opening like that, yes, you create a vacuum.
Yes.
Then you won't get it out. You're going to have them cut the bottom off, or you're going to have to poke a hole somehow in the bottom of it.
And then you'll lose your deposit on it.
Yes. You'll lose more than your deposit. Okay. So, the other thing is that, and again, people can take a toy that big. There's no difference.
Yeah.
It's the same. It's actually a better sensation because it's warm. It moves. It has fingers.
Absolutely.
Tickle them from the inside.
And if it's rubber or vinyl or something, it's much better. Yeah, much, much better.
No, hands are better.
Well, but
obviously, if you're going to do this, use vinyl gloves.
Sometimes you don't always have another hand.
Yes, I know. Well, that's when being limber. I mean, you go to Lazarus House, you should be limber.
Yes, I've seen self-fisting.
Yes. Have you?
Oh, I've seen a picture.
It wasn't me, I swear. But shut up, Chris. He's got...
We do have to wrap this up. I'm so sorry.
But I'm just going to say, if you're going to do this, make sure you're playing with somebody that you trust and take the time.
I want to talk more about fisting next time you're here.
And if you're going to do it, well, I've got some tips and tricks for you.
And we'll talk about that. Yeah.
Okay.
On how to do this. And
I bet you got a volunteer in there for demonstration.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
But let's do that. And then we can also bring up some other things like wax and fire play.
That we didn't get to tonight.
Right.
Okay. Wonderful.
Wax. But everybody, just if you're going to play, know who you're playing with. Know what you're doing. If you don't know, the leather community we live in is an incredible bunch of people. The pansexual community, incredible bunch of people. They're willing to teach you. They would rather teach you and have you learn the proper way to play than to hurt yourself or hurt somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So
they'd rather explain it to you than have to explain it to Channel 2 when they come knocking on the door asking, you know, why was this Baptist minister hogtied? And
yes, exactly.
Exactly. So, yeah. I mean...
And there's wonderful organizations like the Houston Leather Boys.
The Houston Leather Boys, National Leather Association.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are quite a few organizations HPEP. And clubs out there. Houston People Exchanging Power, HPEP, Whip Society.
Mm-hmm.
We are all very much into education.
And the easy way to find out about any of these organizations is go to louisweekend.com.
And just
and
click on the member
click
clubs.
On one of those member clubs and...
There you go.
It'll take you to their homepage. Yeah. And if you're out in the bar and you see one of us, because we normally, the boys are always wearing their colors, the nomads wear their colors out, misfits wear their colors out.
Mm-hmm.
In L.A., we all wear our colors out when we are out at the bars.
So just go up and ask.
Go up and ask. If that person says, I don't know, that's not my scene, but I know somebody who can help you.
There you go.
And sit down and talk with these people and find out the truth and the safe way to protect yourself and still have a good time.
Okay.
So we'll hit some
Robert,
music.
Robert, thank you so much.
And
see
thank
you next
for
month.
Leather Ties.
You bet. The we'll bisexuals are coming your way next.
Yeah.
You're listening to After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
envisage the fundamentals of language.
Ah.
Army of Lovers, and that was Heterosexuality. Wrapping up our Leather Ties segment. And that was bad timing. You grab that one, you grab that one. It's all yours.
It is? Oh, wow.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So, good evening or afternoon, whatever time it is, what part of the world you're in. Time for the bisexual agenda.
Let's keep it stuck in the middle.
Right.
I like being in the middle.
Oh, you like threesomes?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yes, those can be very fun.
Yeah, those of us who do actually do like sitting on the fence, because if you do it right, it can actually feel pretty good.
Yeah.
So, I'm David, also known as Beloved Great Bear.
I'm Robin.
And I'm Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
And the thing we plan to talk about tonight, really, I've been lazy, so I don't have a special thing to talk about tonight. So I figured we'd just wing it and kind of just throw something out there and see what we come up with.
It's one of those things when you join in other groups and you get so occupied in other stuff, you just forget. Like, oh, come up to the day and like, oh, crap, I didn't come up with a segment. I figured we could talk about from last time.
Yeah.
Families and stuff to...
Yeah. Last month I was out of town, so you and Lynn had done the program. I heard about it. It sounded like it was a good subject, so we might just pick up on that again. Robin, let you take the lead, and I'll tag along.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to bring up was, speaking of...
And Miss Lynn just came in.
Miss Lynn has just walked in.
Good, Sherlock.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to bring up this last time me and Lynn was on the air was I had a show. Oprah Winfrey had a show. I think it was Thursday afternoon. It was about these families. They're totally normal suburban families, you know, husband and wife and children. And finally, all of a sudden, one day, the husband wants to be a woman. And she had where the husband had decided to be a woman and the wife had accepted it. And she was cool with it. And as a matter of fact, instead of like getting upset and breaking up or whatever, they stayed together and they happily married. As a matter of fact, still in love with each other and still have a very serious relationship. And I was looking at that going, you know, the wife, she basically was supposedly heterosexual. You know, she's probably never been with a woman or anything like that. All her life she dated men. It's just the love for this person that she married is so serious and so deep that even though the person is a female now and she probably wouldn't even consider being with a woman at the beginning, it's because the feelings that she has for this person in general, she still can have a sexual relationship and a loving relationship with this person, even though she has the sex now. And I find that kind of interesting, knowing that we was talking about that last month, you know, different relationships.
Right.
And that's probably one type of bisexual relationship that, you know, that's considered maybe bisexual, but in a way it's not, but in a way it is, because she's not dating the person because she's a woman. She's with this person, married to this person because of the person. The spirit.
They have a relationship that's more than just a sexual thing.
Yeah, like he could have been in an accident and can't have sex anymore. And I have a feeling this person would have stayed with him if they could never have sex, because the love for each other is so deep that it doesn't matter. It's just you can be in love with someone so seriously that anything can happen. Like, say, you can change into a woman. Normally, you would never be with a woman. Or he could get burned in an accident. It looks like Freddy Krueger, you know. She would still be with him because she's in love with his spirit. I was looking at that, and I find that very interesting, you know, that a lot of people look at bisexuality as, oh, these people are just at it for sex, you know. Oh, it's free-range sex. Well, it can be like that, too. But it's also other type of bisexuals where it can be more of a very, very spiritual and serious relationship where it's a sacredness instead of more of a gender thing or sex or whatever like that.
All right. I was thinking when we got here to the station earlier this evening, I was looking through the book The Bisexual Option by Fritz Klein, M.D., and in Chapter 3 is titled The Bisexual Intimacy Level, and it is talking about the nature of intimacy and that the various forms that you know, we're talking about, you know, is possible, say, for two men to have a very intimate relationship and not be sexual. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it's possible for, you know, a man and woman actually can be very sexual, but not necessarily be intimate.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, of course, there's all levels of degrees. You know, like I've talked about here on this show myself, that I call myself bisexual. And that, in some ways, it's probably more easy for me to be emotionally intimate with a man than with a woman. But it is more easy for me to be romantically intimate with a woman than with a man.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's easy for me to be sexual either one. It's like my primary relationship is with Robin, obviously a female. And while I could probably have a good relationship with a man, I don't expect to ever want to marry him. You know, or have that kind of relationship.
For me, on the other hand, I can have a serious relationship with a woman. If I find if the right one comes along, I can get just as serious with a woman. You know, kind of have a polyamorous type situation. Or kind of like Lynn, on the other hand, when she has a serious relationship with a female, and it's completely two separate entities. When she's with her husband over here, and she's with her companion over here, what they don't, it's not a threesome or a polyamorous thing. It's more like two separate things going here.
Totally separate relationships.
Yes.
And that's part of respecting them and respecting yourself, I feel like.
You're right.
In that you do keep them separate and that you don't do the threesome thing because neither one of them are really interested in it.
You're right.
If you get lucky enough to have one of each that understands that they're totally, you know, separate yet equal.
You're right.
That's how it would be for me, too. I can get involved with a female, and it can be two separate things. Like, maybe she's a straight lesbian, and she's just not into guys at all. She's not having nothing against David or anything. This is not her, but she's into me. So I can kind of be like Lynn and just have a separate relationship, and then I can be with David, too.
Hmm.
Well, David is more like, he just have like a fun relationship where, you know, every now and then they can go have sex. Just be like friends or something. It ain't real deep and serious.
Right.
Like it would be me and him.
Having
us being married and having children or
right.
Whatever.
Have me a
bleep
buddy.
A bit buddy.
Yep. Right.
I think women have a tendency to, when they get in a relationship, to, and I may be wrong about this, not being that I'm male, but I think that women have a more intimate, non-sexual relationship in that aspect.
Yes, I agree with you. I mean, you want to say anything else?
I'm just like, because me, I was bisexual at one point, and I can understand where all three of them are coming from. And me personally, it's like, at one point I was going out with this girl, and I had to be careful not to tell her about my other side where I was going out with guys and everything because she was not cool with it. She was not cool when she found out I was bi. And so it's just like some girls, they're more hurt by the fact
right.
when they find out their partner or anything is having sex with men or anything else with men. They just are repulsed by it and they don't like it.
And part of her deal was probably, well, what is he doing for you that I can't?
Yeah, it probably was, but then again, she was in another city at the time, so.
Long distance relationship.
Yes.
situation with a woman, what broke us up, since she was worried that I was going to get with a man and leave her. It was just this fear that I might get with a guy in general, just period, because she was bisexual herself. She loved men. It was the idea, it's this jealousy factor where she was afraid that she's not good enough or whatever. I don't know what was really going on in her head. But the main thing that she was afraid of, that I was going to be more attracted to a man and just leave her high and dry.
Yeah, and that is a very large issue within the community is that lack of trust and the jealousy that's there, unfortunately.
Right.
I usually don't have a problem with this with men, straight or bi. I mean, I've been with straight guys, and a lot of times, some of them didn't mind it. The only time I had a problem with straight guys is it's a Christian religious thing, where they were very Christian, very religious, and they just have this hang-up with gays and bis in general,
mm-hmm.
that, oh, you're going to go to hell and all that. But I never really had a problem with jealousy or anything like that with men. It's just, it's more of a cultural thing going there.
Right.
I think men have a, unless a man has run into it where he's been with a woman that was bi, I think they don't have the jealousy issue that we as females have at times, in that, well, you know, what are they doing for you that I'm not doing for you? How do they treat you that I'm not treating you? Why am I not good enough that I'm just not good enough for you to just be with me? You know, and men don't seem to have that issue in the being jealous, and I think men understand the wanting to be with the female, those that are straight or bi, because they've experienced that, and that's something that they enjoy, so they can kind of understand that intimacy issue there.
Mm-hmm. I think that thing about the whole thing about the men not being jealous and everything, I think it has something to do with the way that men are wired, though. I mean, we're wired who are activated by physical touch and everything. I mean, a physical sight, like what we see.
Men are more by sight.
Yes,
and the women. By touch. The women are more by mind, psychological,
and emotional, everything.
Yes. And emotional. Yes.
That's why they can tend to get all emotional and more jealous than men can, unless the man has developed the woman's side of them a lot more to become more emotionally and driven and attached.
Yeah, because I know a lot of gay men that are that way. They can get very jealous.
Yeah.
Yes.
But that's not any different than a heterosexual couple, whether it's the male or the female on that. That they get very jealous about their spouse.
Right.
Yes. And a lot of times it's more of a self thing where your self-worth is so low.
Yeah.
Where you feel like you're not good enough, so any little thing could come along and just snatch them away.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's have nothing to do with the woman or whatever.
I've had the experience being situated, like, say, with Gigi's sex temple over there in her Bass Drop or some other activity, and seeing Robin here playing with another man. And like I said, I will feel some jealousy. But also, kind of practicing what I preach, the saying, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. It's like, if she's got to give me permission to go and do something on the side, I'm going to give her the same permission.
Well, that goes back to, let me ask you this. When y'all go and y'all do something like that, you know who she's going home with that night, do you not? And that's what it all comes down to. Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why I don't get jealous.
You know, and that's why I say, with me, the relationship have to be two very separate and distinct.
Right.
I mean, at one time, I did it with some guy. I walked in with the guy with me. You know, David was in a sling, and his white butt was facing the moon. And I said, hey, David.
Look, Mom, it's the moon.
And he's peeping behind this moon, and he's going, hey. And I said, David, such and such wants to, play around. He said, be all right. He said, yeah, go ahead. You know, and I ended up playing around with him, and he ends up moving right next to me, him and his friend. And they basically, you know, played around, mm-hmm. too.
Considering the Resist Show was in, I did not feel like I had the right to complain.
I don't think so.
Rather vulnerable there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, his friend kind of left him hanging there for a while. Big booty up in there, this big moon.
I just hate men who do that.
Yeah, sometimes that just being left to hang there is just absolutely off this planet.
Yeah.
But there were other times when we went up to Bastrop, and this other female, I'm not going to say any names because I don't know if they want to be visited on the radio or not, but...
Probably not.
So, they probably wouldn't mind, but I just want to respect them. The friend that stays up there, they playing around in this swing, you know, David and her, and I kind of came in and joined in a little bit, and, you know, leave him alone for a little bit, and, you know, I don't have a problem with him being with women or being... Because, like you said, I know who's going home,
right.
You know. And I have a self-worth where I'm good enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because a lot of times people are jealous because they have this self-worth where it's real low. They're not good enough. I worked up my own self-esteem, my own self-worth, where I can help him to be what I can look at him with a woman, doing with a woman prettier than me or whatever. And I wouldn't have a problem. You know, it's like, I know I'm good enough.
Right.
And if he wants to leave me for somebody else, boy, he sure is missing out.
that's
how I see it, yeah.
That's his problem.
Right. I'm not going to up and leave her just because I had a good bleep with somebody.
Yeah.
That one night. You know,
it comes down to when somebody asks me what I want or what I expect out of them, and I tell them, you know, what I want is what you want to give me.
Hmm.
Exactly.
What I expect, I have no expectations. Hmm. My desire is that you don't walk in front of me unless you know the way and you're leading me.
Okay.
And I don't want you to follow me. I would prefer that you be right there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't understand that, then I understand it's time for me to walk away from
you. Okay. Yeah.
Communication is really important, too. Like, no matter, even David could be out of town and some guy come up. I'm not going to do it with him until David knows about it.
Hmm.
I mean, because you never know.
And the kind of relationship that you two have, that's the best way to be. It's a safety factor.
Right.
Yes.
Because
he might see something in this guy that I don't see.
Yeah.
You know, some people can see things that you don't see because they see it from a different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because he's seen it from the guy's point of view when he's looking at another guy, as opposed to seeing it through the filtered view of a woman or from their specific point of view.
Exactly. Like, I remember this one guy wanted to do me. I mean, my friend, my roommate, he wanted to, you know, fool around with him and stuff. So he had him stay over for a while. And I didn't do it with him until David showed up on the weekend, and I said, David, what do you think? And David said, I don't know, there's something funny about this guy. I just made me feel uncomfortable. So I didn't do it with him. Come to find out, a guy had stole my stuff.
Yeah.
He was on drugs, and
right.
It's like, you know, so even if you just have a funny feeling, you might not even see anything, but your gut is always right.
Yeah. And that's what I call that, female intuition.
Sometimes he has it. Sometimes.
Well, I know some men that have a better female intuition than I do.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's something that's hard for me to understand, but that is true. Sometimes men have a better female intuition than we do. I trust my gut, not necessarily my heart sometimes.
And sometimes, like one time David was some guy with nudist group. He's in a nudist group too, you know. As Lone Star as they call it, Lone Star.
Yeah.
And this guy, they wanted to do a session. And I just had this funny feeling. I was like, man, I don't know what you want to do. And I didn't exactly tell him the way I want to because I didn't want to seem pushy. But I should have. I should have said, I have bad feelings about this guy. I don't know what you should do. Instead, I said, David, I don't know. I think maybe you should pass on this. He said, well, I really want to do this and do this. So I just left it alone. Come to find out, it was a disaster. I mean, he came home with a face that's beet red. It's like, what happened? You know, so
I was not in a good mood when I came back.
Yeah.
I won't go into details, but that did not
go well.
Did not go well. That the guy came on way too strong for us wanting to get into.
Yeah, the guy was into BDSM or something, and David is just like, ugh. Not into that.
Okay, at least go look at it a little bit. And like I said, it just came on way too strong. I said, no, this ain't working. Get away from me.
See, and that's something that I think when somebody's into that lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
and if they do decide they want to date us, I think they need to go slowly with us. Those of us that are not into that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, there are some things along that lifestyle that do interest me.
But oh, me too. Me
finding
too.
The yeah. person that I feel comfortable with to do those things with is going to require that they move slowly, be willing, mm-hmm. and be able to communicate with me.
I told David that if he really wanted to even just look at it, go to Gigi. We know Gigi for years. I know how Gigi is. Gigi is the type of person that will start out real slow. He's not going to jump in there real fast, and he's always going to ask you, how you feel about this? Are you okay with that? Please let me know, is this uncomfortable? He preached that so much, I mean, where it's a safety thing, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They were talking about that in the previous segment.
Yeah, I was going to say, that goes to the safe, the sane, and especially the consensual.
Right.
That's what I like about G. And I told David, you know, next time you really want to step into that again, you know, just talk to Gigi about mm-hmm. it. And every now and then, you know, do a session with him. And, you know, G, that's what I like about him, because he knows that you're nervous or scared or whatever. And he'll work with you real soon. I mean, for some reason, some of these guys, I don't know, they just don't. Maybe he thought that David was in it already. I don't know. But. It just didn't work.
Well, see, and that's an assumption within the community, within the gay community as well as the straight community, is that if you're not straight and you're leading an alternative lifestyle, that you're into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that means you're into pain and a few other things, and that's not necessarily true.
Mm. Yeah, a lot of times it's like... It's like learning how to drive. I want to learn how to drive, mm-hmm. but I don't have a clue. So you got to start off slow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with that. I mean, yeah, if you poke me with something, ow. You know the people at the first segment, they hit some notes. You know, you just start off real slowly.
Yeah.
You don't just...
Right.
Give somebody straight pain, yeah. You kind of barely, rub them or something, and then go with a slap or kind of work your way up. Well, you get the endorphins to go up. It's more like endorphins. It's not the pain. It's more like getting your endorphins up where you get that high.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what it's more about. And people are going to be like expecting pain and stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of work with them. You know, it takes a while.
Yeah.
You know, that goes into... as you said, getting the endorphins up, but that's something that you don't start out with right from get-go, from moment mm-hmm. one,
mm-hmm.
whether it's spanking or biting. That's mm-hmm. something that you lead up to and that both of you build to that point, that it becomes an eroticism that brings you up and over.
And like I said, David might have gotten in it and decided, oh, I'm not really interested, and it's okay. Like, he'll be like, okay with that, and go, well, okay, at least we tried, and if you don't like it, you know, don't worry about it.
For the record, what I'm more interested in doing is something more of a tantric nature.
You know, and that was one of the things I got from the last segment is that try it lightly. See if you like it. If you do, you can go to the next level. If you don't, then
you know what? It's okay.
Yeah, ain't nobody gonna be mad at you.
No.
No, it's only do what you can take. If you cannot take it, do not do it. It's not a good idea.
Everybody has their limits. Some people's right. limits are higher than the other. You know
I've seen some, when I was here on Louis the past couple of years, I've seen some leather used in some rather erotic ways. And there are certain things that are done with leather that I can definitely appreciate and understand. Mm-hmm. And they definitely bring out some feelings. But then there's been those things that I have seen that, to me personally, are just going too far.
Yeah,
and
me too.
There is no way. Uh-huh. But yeah. That's, you know, that person's thing, and go for it.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with, like, people wrapping themselves up in saran wrap and all that. To me, that's just a little too freaky and weird. All
right.
You know, yeah. And, like, the foot thing in the, wearing the diapers and stuff like that. To me, it's just weird.
Yeah.
If somebody else want to do it, and they're not hurting somebody else with it or whatever, they're not being injured or hurt, I'm like, go for it. Just, that's what turns you on.
Yeah, that's, to me, that's just a different version of using a scarf or a blindfold or something along that line. And there again, that goes to the trust issue.
Yes. You got to pick somebody that you really can trust. And they can, and that person can trust you, and you can trust that person.
Mm-hmm. Before you start to do all this other, like all this different stuff, because you have to build your trust.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you get the trust built up, then you can start to try new and different things. And you, of course, start at the beginning. If you just start straight out, full on, it's just going to be like, whoa, get away from me.
Yeah.
And then if you just build it up, it's just slow progression, and then you should be good beyond that.
Yeah, what is it they say? Plain Jane vanilla and go from there?
Yeah.
It's
kind of like vanilla ice cream, and then you start acting like flavors to it, or chocolate chip, nuts, you know, and all that type of stuff.
Anyway. Glancing through the book here. The bisexual option book, talking again about intimacy. Sure, I'm not just trying to throw out, you know, people's experience here about intimacy. So let's say, you know, which in your own experiences, which you say was made easier for you to be intimate with either a man or a woman. I'm talking about made in general, not necessarily sexual or whatever. As I was saying earlier, it's easier for me to say to be romantically intimate with a woman, where I can be emotionally intimate with a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an absolute, but that seems to be a generality in my life. And, of course, when it comes to sexual, that's kind of a little more even.
And see, I can be more emotionally and romantically with a female than I can with my husband.
Right.
My husband, I guess, is the strength. And I got a feeling Robin will understand this, but the laying there and being held by a man, there is a security, a comfort that's felt there that you don't quite get with the female.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yet with a female, that being held is to a degree more intimate than it is when you're with a male.
Hmm.
But you just don't quite have that security feeling.
Right.
It's like when I'm with a man, I prefer to be more dominant, have a man to be more dominant. Not exactly him beat me up or something.
Besides, if I try to, you'd probably beat me right back.
There you go.
It's more like he laying on top of me and he's like rubbing my back. You know, just taking charge of the act. Basically, with a woman, it's more like an equalness where we both are like running the show, kind of like a tag team or something, on a wrestling match or something like that, I guess. But
kind of what they call switch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But with a man, it's more like he leads, you know, and I just, because of the security thing, you know, the masculinity, it's
being most they carried or something. Yeah.
You feel more comfortable with letting the male lead and go wherever it is he chooses to go.
Uh-huh.
As to where with the female, all things are equal.
Yes.
With the female being female, you know what she wants and desires.
Exactly. It's the same thing with her knowing what I know.
Yeah.
Same with the thing about guys. It's like, a guy know what a guy wants. Mm-hmm. That's why it's commonly said that the guy gives the best.
Yeah.
And it's true. I can attest to that. Believe me. And
use your own body as a reference.
Yes. It goes back to that same thing. It's like a woman knows what a woman wants. A guy knows what a guy wants. Now, when it comes to straight parts of the relationship, it's a little different. You have to actually get to start to know the person before you know what they want. And that may take anywhere from 5 minutes to several years. It depends upon the people.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's true.
I was thinking about my own experience, at least sexually, but again, this falls over into the romantic, emotional, whatever. That with a woman, I tend to want to be, like I say, quote unquote, controlling, not going to be dominating. But it's like Robin's saying, you know, I'm more, she likes me, likes a man to become more in dominant role, and that's how I'm comfortable with a woman. If I'm with a man, it tends to switch. I'm more comfortable and attracted to being in a more, quote-unquote, submissive role, which does also cause me some problems because men aren't supposed to do that. So I'm going to take play in my head. I have to deal with it.
But, you know, the way you say dominant, that's not a bad thing.
Uh-uh.
Right.
That's a good thing. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're submissive. You can have two people that are dominant.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That are together, whether it's male, male, female, female, male, female. You just have to learn how the other one is and kind of swap off.
Right.
Yeah. So you got women that actually will have strap on with their husband or with their boyfriends. I mean, me and David, we've done it a couple of times in a strap on foreplay where you use the toys or dildos on a guy.
But you know, the marital aids.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it can swap. But most of the time, it's mostly he's a dominant because it's just more comfortable that way. But every now and then, you know, it happens. I mean, my roommate, I mean, I was like doing him all the time because he just, for some reason, likes to be dominated by women.
But don't you feel like that being female and being bi, or if you're straight, we always expect the male to be more dominant?
Sometimes now, not all the time now, because I know that a lot of guys.
Yeah, now knowing what you're knowing, but I mean, years back.
Oh yeah, if they weren't dominant, I thought there was something wrong with them. Yeah. It's like, are you gay or something?
And sometimes the guys like for us to be the dominant one, for us to take charge.
Because they're tired of taking charge themselves, and they want to be told what to do.
Yeah.
And I'll take a break, and you drive for a while.
Yeah,
exactly. Just let me lay there for a change and enjoy.
Right.
Yeah.
Just like you're always the one sitting there, laying there, whatever, enjoying while we're doing whatever. Let's switch the roles.
Yeah.
And give you control for a change.
So men do enjoy that. Being dominated, and that's why I say being dominant is not a bad thing. It's not what some people would think is being dominant, and it's not really even taking control as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
It's more being into the touching and feeling of your partner and watching them and how they react.
Mm-hmm.
And bringing them to that next level.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I remember in the past I had trouble finding men because I don't have a problem with guys being dominant, but I have a problem with them only liking certain positions all the time, like doggy style. The reason why I don't really like that position because it's just not intimate.
Tell it to a guy and a
it's
guy.
More like an eagle.
Yeah.
It's More like an ego thing. Like, and the guy, oh, I'm big stuff. You know?
And usually the guy who wants to do is the guy who's hung like a mule, too.
And I think women in general, and I may be wrong in there again, I can't speak for every female, but I think for me personally, I find that not intimate. And for some reason, and I don't know why, I find that a little demeaning.
Yeah. I was thinking last here recently, Rob and I were playing around, and I did say, hey, let me do it to you from behind, because I just had that desire. And while it was erotic, there was something missing. I think it is what she's talking about, that intimacy, about being face-to-face and all. So.
The reason why I let David do me, because he is very sensitive about it. You know, he'd have me kind of like laying on my stomach instead of more like on my forearms. And he rubs on me and stuff when he's doing, you know, he's a little more intimate about it. He ain't just in there just like I'm just big shot, you know. But most of the time, I would sit on a guy and ride him or what, you know, whatever. But for some reason, I'm not comfortable doing a dog style. And sometimes I'm not comfortable with the blowjob thing either. Unless, the only time I'm comfortable with that is the guy's laying on his back and, you know, and I can, like, lean over and do it. But if he's standing up and I'm on my knees, See, I don't like that.
I think with us being female, I think it's we want to see our partner. We want to see their reaction.
Exactly. Yeah.
We want to see how it is or is not affecting them.
Yes.
How it's making them feel. Mm-hmm. And I think we want them to see that in us. And that's kind of a selfish thing in a way. Because I want them to watch me. I want them to know what they are or not doing for me.
Mm-hmm. And see, for me, it's more like it ain't that I want them to. I just kind of like being able to see his face. Mm-hmm. And like I said,
there it goes back to the visual.
Yeah. It's to me just seem more intimate.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, she's got a vibrator out.
Yeah, it's like I forgot what I was gonna say.
Okay.
Got y'all excited,
right? Ooh, darling. I'll go and throw in my part about I do like, I find that, you'll be it man or woman, I like the body contact. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm playing with a guy, yeah, I'm willing for him to be standing up. I prefer he not put his hand on my head, just, hey, leave me alone, I know what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that could be annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
But
otherwise, that's a no-brainer.
But otherwise, yeah, fine. But that's, yeah, I like the body contact. Mm-hmm. And it's like I was saying with Robin, yeah, occasionally I might want to do something a little different, you know, for the variety. But sure, speaking, I like being where we're face to face, getting into that hugging.
And that comes back to intimacy.
Right.
Sometimes we just lay there, like inside each other.
Mm-hmm.
And just lay there. Don't do anything, just lay there and just breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Breathe slow, you know what I mean?
But that's the intimacy, but it's also part of that is emotional.
Yes, most definitely.
And that's what some people don't understand.
Because in that position, you can feel, well, no matter what you're doing, what position you're in, when you're in physical contact, you tend to have a closer connection. It doesn't matter if it's guy-guy, guy-girl, girl-girl.
Exactly.
It does not matter.
Yeah.
It's just, if the feelings are there, and you're touching and everything, doing anything sexual or anything, the connection,
right,
it's there. I mean, granted, different things may turn you on and everything to get everything started, but in the end, if you're touching and everything, that's, like me personally, I like to actually be touching my boyfriend or whatever, and it's like,
but that,
it makes me feel a little more secure and more connected to him. Mm-hmm. Because I'm actually in physical contact with him as opposed to just talking to him on the phone or doing any other stuff over the phone or maybe by email or anything. I mean, that's different. That's a different level of communication and sexuality. But actually being there around them and touching them, that's a whole nother level. And when you just lay there, then you're like, it's like you're bonding a
it's
deeper...
It's like you're melting together.
Yeah.
There's a connection there. There's an intimacy there that... And it doesn't have to be sexual.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No, it exactly. doesn't. Although it is nice if it is.
Sometimes it works that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I've had experience time playing around Robin where, yes, we're being sexual, but it still is perhaps a bigger thing. It's just the contact. You know, it's like, you know, just the feeling. And I was kind of thinking to myself about sex. You know, I have this intimate relationship with Robin. It's working. It feels good. And yet every now and then I still want to go play with a guy. It's just, there's something they say that even being sexual, either a man or a woman, it means two different needs. Somehow they're related and they're talking about sexual, but there's still, there's a lot I get from being a woman. And there's still something I can get from being with a man. Both are good. Neither one's necessarily exclusive. And so, I mean, I sometimes feel, you know, I sometimes get a sense, you know, say with a man, there is this sense of, you know, having some sort of a connection with that male spirit. And occasionally I can pick up a little thing about, you know, maybe some feeling, fulfilling some needs, some intimate needs, like maybe something I didn't get from my father or something. And being aware that I want to be careful that I'm not getting some sort of deep psychological issue, which should be better dealt with otherwise.
Yeah.
But as long as I'm conscious of it, heck, there may be an opportunity here to do a little healing work. I'm not interested in getting into something. I've heard, you know, men who get into a little, you know, daddy-son relationship. I mean, I hear about that.
I mean,
like,
that's kind of creepy.
I mean, like, I don't think so. But as long as I'm otherwise doing as I'm doing this as an adult, I'm having this intimate relationship with this man, at least for this time.
As an equal.
Because I have noticed that, let's say, if I go to one of the bathhouses, I tend to be a little more attracted to the, you know, to the older men. And I says, well, maybe it is getting some father thing coming. And right now my attitude is, okay, bring it up. I'll keep this in front of me where I can see it and work with it and not let it run me. Because,
mm-hmm.
no, I don't want to have, you know, a substitute father here. I want to have basically some, you know, playtime.
Yeah.
But at the same time, just being cautious. You know, in some way, the reason I might be more attracted to the older guys, maybe I can feel I can trust them more. And when I say older, it could be actually about my age. I'm about 48, so somebody my age group that we've been more comfortable with than, say, some, you know, 20-year-old swimsuit model. Even though he might look quite nice.
I mean, I find myself being attracted to older men because of the idea that they, the maturity factor, that the whole thing is about how women mature faster than men does. It's the idea that I feel more secure with him. You know, he know what he's doing. He got his life together. You know, he got his priorities checked out. And, you know, he's most of the time they're in the clear. They don't have a lot of baggage. All that crap. They took care of their business. But with younger guys, it's, they just, like, learning how to do that.
Yeah.
And I learned the hard way being with younger guys, or guys my age, that they would have these kids by these little women and all that, and it's just baby mama drama. There's just so much crap that I just don't need in my life. So it's like, I always dated guys that were way, like 10 years older or something mm-hmm. like that, because I know that, you know, they're gonna be kind of there.
Yeah. You can say we're about 12. I'm about 12 years older than you are. You're keeping with that pattern.
Yeah. I mean, it's just something about a guy that they just, you know, to me they feel like we're on the same level. And a guy that's the same age as me, it feels like he's kind of behind.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, maybe that's happened with some of the guys you've actually gotten. Maybe you've felt that most, if not all of them, have been behind, but. If you look nowadays, if you've noticed, it's like there's a lot more people that are starting to take care of their business early, male and female, and they're getting their stuff together before they decide to try and pursue a relationship because they want it together to where it doesn't get in the way.
That's good, because in the past for me, these guys basically just want to play the field and don't want to get in a serious relationship, and they got like 5-10 kids by 5-10 women. It's like, oh, no, not for me.
If you've been, if you have that many kids, you've been playing around too much. And if you're 20 when you have that many, No.
You need to,
you
like,
you need to control yourself.
Yeah.
Or get a mastectomy.
Stupid to be running around with that many.
Actually, I think about, say, the women attractive. The age thing is not as important. But again, yeah, I might be tending to look at the swimsuit, 20-year-old swimsuit models. But again, to get serious, got to be somebody close to my age. Yeah. So I have some sense I'm talking to someone who's got some maturity.
It's yeah. The same thing with
not
me
only
too.
Maturity, but somebody that you got something in common.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's, I can't think of anything that I have in common with the 20-year-old other than I like to go to a club.
To me, it's more like...
That's not a whole lot to have in common with someone.
The only thing I have in common with 20-year-olds, maybe we're interested in comic books or something.
Although, I will have to say, I have met a few 22, 23-year-olds that have got their life or getting it together.
Right.
They're already starting, you know, IRAs, 401s, mutual funds, looking at buying a house, you know, and that leads back to what you said, in that they're getting their life together before they think about starting a relationship.
Right.
Yeah, and I ran into some that are 18, 19 years old, and I thought they were like 29, 28 years old. Like, what? He's so mature. It's like, oh my God.
I
want to hook him up with my niece.
Yeah, nowadays you almost have to ask for a driver's license to verify age.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But speaking of, you know, respect and everything, guys being done it. It's that swingers party that me and David got kicked out of. This guy kept, like, he did it with every female in the house. And there must have been about maybe 20, 30 people in the house.
That's too many.
But see, that's an ego thing.
And he kept bugging me. You want to do it with me?
No, get away.
And then he really got angry because I did it with David, and then I did it with this other guy, and this guy was like, oh my God, he was hot. He was French. And you know about French guys. And he was real hung.
I was hoping he was bi, because I just wanted to come out with him too.
I think he was bi. He just didn't want to come out and say it.
Right.
I think he's in the closet because he had some feminine tendencies.
Right.
But man, but this guy, he followed me. This other guy, he followed me and just kept asking and asking and asking. And I kept telling him no. And one of the rules that they have in the party before we start is no means no. This guy kept following me around. And then it was this one lady. Oh, I wanted to do her so bad. She was so... She was good looking. He got with her.
Down, girl, down, down.
He got with her and did her doggy style. That was the only way he would do it was doggy style, and then he would do it in 30 seconds like some rabbit.
Doggy style, get away from me. You're gonna bend over for me, not the other way around.
Right.
Oh, it's getting close to time to boogie woogie. So
get ready to turn. Getting time to turn up, pumpkin.
Something maybe we ought to talk about the first month, first Saturday of the month, have the buy movie night.
The buy net Houston.
At 3400 Montrose in the second floor at the Gamelad Spin Center. And they have like buy movies and some movies with bisexuals in it, but usually the movie is really good selection. Then on the third Thursday of the month, we have buy meeting night. Well, we have it at the Harvard Cafe. I don't have exactly the address, but it's in between Kirby and Shepherd on Richmond.
Yeah.
And it's called a Harvard Cafe. And usually meet at 7:30. And you can come there and join a good buffalo burger and talk about bisexuality with other bisexuals. And the movie night things also starts at 7:30.
Right. And, of course, we can be contacted via email. That the address would be by agenda, that's BIAGENDA at peoplepc.com. If you want to, you know, send us a message or check in. Also, the Binet Houston does have a Yahoo group. So, or you can contact us through this via, you know, after hours program. So, I guess that's it. Till next month.
All right, thank you. We are coming up close to the end there.
We sure are.
I'm going to let Tigger know we did get your letter.
Oh, Tigger, what a beautiful letter. Thank you so much.
And we just don't have the time this week to do it justice, so we're going to table it till next week, and which means Jimmy's going to have to show up then.
Oops. That's right. I don't know that I'm going to be here. Well,
Maybe I can
pop in at the end.
Pop in at the end of the show.
Boy, that sounds like a whole other topic.
We do want to discuss this letter.
Yes.
And the second letter doesn't make a difference to me.
Doesn't faze us. But no one's going to find out about the second letter.
Nope.
You've been listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Listener sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston. Coming up at the top of the hour is Laura Palooza.
Ah, yes. Some of the best music you're ever going to hear.
I bet you say that to everybody.
No, I don't.
You're the only woman he says it to.
No, I love the music on your show, as well as a lot of the music on the Alvin Community College station, KACC 89.7 FM, just a little bit lower than our 90.1 KPFT Houston. It's the kind of music I like.
Yeah, I know, but it's so... You know, it's kind of dangerous telling other station IDs they're this close to the top of the hour.
Well, that's why when you talk about another radio station, you always have to follow it by your radio station.
Ah.
That's how it works.
But,
And when I said that, I saw Laura kind of, her eyes opened, and I guess she's listened to that station, too.
Well, I know of it.
Yeah. Some really good music, and we get really good reception here in the Montrose. Suddenly. I don't know why.
They must have gone digital.
There are 50,000 watts that I know of.
Mm. All right. If we get in touch with us here on the radio show on After Hours, you can send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Snail mail is After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
L-O-V-E-T-T, love T-T.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
We love hearing from you, your news items, love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
And we will be back next, well, some of us will be back next week.
Most of us.
Jimmy may be here in body only.
Spirit. Spirits.
And that will be different from the usual way and how?
I don't know.
And now it's time for your PSAs.
KPFT brings back the fall concert series at the Miller Outdoor Theater starting this Sunday, October 14th, and will continue every Sunday afternoon through November 18th. From 4 to 7, admission is free.
Come out and meet your favorite KPFT radio personalities and experience the diverse sounds from your community radio station.
Again, the fall concert series begins this Sunday, October 14th through November 18th from 4 to 7 p.m. at the Miller Outdoor Theater, and admission is free. For more information, visit kpft.org.
This program is sponsored by the City of Houston through the Miller Outdoor Theater Advisory Board. 90.1 KPFT Houston, your community radio station.
The Athena Art Project and KPFT proudly present the 13th Annual Houston Women's Festival, Saturday, October 20th at Jones Plaza. It's a full day of nonstop music. Ruthie Foster leads a powerful lineup that includes Kelly Gray and Susan Gibson. She needs wide open spaces. One of Houston's favorite performers, Ginger Lee, emcees the big event. For more information, call 713-995-5251 or visit hwfestival.org. The Houston Women's Festival is October 20th. Volunteer for the Houston Women's Festival. The only requirement is your enthusiasm. The festival takes place again Saturday, October 20th. Volunteer today and reserve your place in the spotlight. Call 713-995-5251 or visit hwfestival.org. This is KPFT Houston.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to. but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.